Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Kind of Funny's XCU in Review. That's right. We are ranking and reviewing every movie in the X-Men cinematic universe. We've been doing it for 9 weeks now. A lot of X-Men movies. These things never stop. Yeah. Relentless, as they say. And they're never going to be good. Or wait.
Will they?
We're going to find out today because we are reviewing.
Did they rehearse this shit?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Tim Geddes. This is Andy Cortez. That is Kevin Coelho over there. We got Greg Miller and Nick Scarpino to my immediate left, as they say.
You're immediate right.
I want you to just get it.
No.
Your immediate left is Andy.
Thursday, 9 a.m., you can get this show on youtube.com/kindoffunny.
You fucking idiots. You never made a video?
Yeah, come on, dude.
Is it not camera left?
Come on, right here, Tim. That's where it's at. No, host to host right here.
Host to host, motherfuckers.
Isn't stage left an... like?
Shut up, Kevin!
Thursdays at 9 a.m., you can get this video on youtube.com/kindoffunny, or you can get it as a podcast if you'd rather listen to us and not see all the visual shenanigans and gags that we got. Andy's going to put a fun edit here like it's party mode.
I don't edit this.
Let's just make a fun visual gag.
Touch Kevin. Andy, touch him.
Kind of funny
there
reviews.
There it is. God, look at, feel these biceps.
Flexing everything.
Kind of funny
Kevin's
reviews.
Kevin's got a body.
Where's it going? Where's it going, Greg?
He's in there. Where's
it going? Kevin's got a body.
Like one of those
Ninja Turtles. That was like in disguise. They could like put its head into his chest. You're just so, look at how buff you are. You know what I mean?
I love that. Look at how buff you are. Nick just goes.
You are thick. THICC. And I don't know. That's what the kids say.
God damn. Again, podcast services. You can get the show. Look up Kind of Funny Reviews. Thank you very much for all your support, both visually and aurally. That's
aurally. Close enough.
Audibly.
A-U-R-A-L-L-Y. It means through your ears.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
As opposed to orally, which means through your
mouth. Are they still using Keebler elves in commercials?
Not that I've known.
Yeah, I haven't seen them in a while.
I hope so.
I don't watch a lot of network television, but I do love the Keebler elves.
Today we're reviewing Logan, released on March 3rd, 2017. Just 1 year ago.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That doesn't feel right. Like that doesn't feel real at all.
A long time. Directed by James Mangold. We remember from directing The Wolverine a couple movies ago when Logan went to Japan. Mm-hmm. A runtime of 2 hours and 17 minutes. That's right. I added a new thing here. I decided runtime is important for these movies.
Do we have to re-record everything?
Everything. Okay. We're going back to the beginning. MCU and review and review.
I'll do it. I'm down.
A budget of $127 million, which I was kind of shocked by. Not that much money.
That actually seems kind of high for this to me.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, this movie's largely just people talking.
But there was a lot of practical effects of fucking things up.
Yeah, no, it's true. But I just feel like one of the great parts about this movie was it didn't feel like it was a CG fest. Mm-hmm. It really did feel like it was just really good actors hashing out shit together on, you know.
Where'd you get it from?
You're like a grandma that reaches into her purse to get a Werther's original there, too.
That looks like a really old napkin that he's used.
Don't worry about what I'm doing.
The limousine alone was $120 million.
Yeah,
that's where all the budget came from.
2020.
Three different builds of the limousine that they used.
This trivia?
In different.
New, half broke down, and full broke down?
Yeah, yeah. But one was built on top of a much more off road, sportier car.
That makes sense for that last
chase scenes and when they go into the fence, because they did that. Yeah. And there's certain parts of it that look CG and it's not. It's like that shit is practical as fuck.
Yeah. They put real blades into Logan or into Hugh Jackman's hands.
Because there was this thing, I watched an interview with the director, and he was talking about how it's in the future, but it's not that far in the future. And
2029.
And so, like, looking at that, they're like, you know, we've seen so much cool, like, digital HUDs in front of people, and, like, specifically Iron Man and the MCU kind of owned what that looks like in the future. It's like, we want our future to look
Like the real future is going to look in 2029.
Boring ass, a little bit different.
It's just a little bit different. And
LEDs everywhere, but not really.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was some cool touches.
So this takes place 6 years after
the Days of Future Past.
Yeah. After the future that we see in Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
The most futuristic this gets is like hotels. Really hotels have TVs from today.
They had really nice TVs.
Like from 2018.
Yeah. I was like, that's a current gen Samsung. Yeah.
Well, what is weird about that, though, is so Professor X would be the only person that's really affected. Or I guess Logan as well. That is a weird
By jump. What?
That Logan, from the end of Days of Future Past to this movie, it's only been 6 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he
super old.
Hugh Jackman said this is a different universe.
No, it's not.
I mean, that's the thing.
They have said that.
Yeah, they can say that all they want, but there's enough.
We're doing a show called XCU. This is in the cinematic
universe. There's enough evidence to show that it is in the same universe. So
like Caliban.
But I got what I mean? Exactly.
Ladies
and gentlemen of the jury, I might just be a small town muty lawyer.
No, I took from it that his deteriorated state had less to do with age and more to do with the fact that the adamantium was just poison.
Yeah, 100%.
And everything else, all of like, because you see all the scars and shit, like you get the feeling that all of his past is now catching up to him, and he's just deteriorating more and more.
The Metal Gear Solid 4 theory.
Plus, he's drinking like a motherfucker.
But Professor X, though, how does he go from that to that?
I mean, it's a degenerative brain disorder.
Yeah.
I mean, that... I can't tell.
That's how it happens.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm with Andy. Like when you have those kind of things, it does like fall off a cliff pretty quick.
Interesting. But here's the thing.
So I believe it's still in the same universe. Forget everything you know.
Forget everything you know.
Where's Magneto, you know? I feel like...
Dead.
They should have called... Why?
Because he's old, too.
Xavier killed everyone.
He's
one
of them. He only killed everyone at the X-Men.
Seven or several?
Seven.
I thought they said 70.
They said seven.
Seven? Okay.
Seven?
Yeah. It was just seven.
And then they just shut down the school. Or you think the school is still going?
Well, sure, that was like they classified his brain as a weapon of mass destruction. After that,
that shit was done.
Basketball boy.
But like,
and that's
you know,
what, and when I'm watching it, that's what I was thinking too. I'm just like, Wolverine, stab him in the fucking head. You know what I mean? I love Professor X. We all love Professor X.
You got 2 more years left in the sun, Wolverine. Let's just fucking shed all the dead weight. You know what I mean?
Kill him.
It's a mercy kill.
It's a mercy kill. There's nothing. This is all he has left. Him fucking screaming the F word at him, being old, pooping his pants.
Really sad.
No way to live. No way to live.
Now
Andy twisted his ankle once, and I was like, "You want me to put you down?"
But that's what I like about this, right? It's less about hey, who's got what power, and more about like, what do you do with these tough choices, right? Obviously, this is not a mentor-mentee relationship anymore. This is a father-son relationship.
Yeah.
You catch up with them, and it's how do you take care of your ailing father, who is just happens to also have this horrible power that if you let, and it sucks because he can't afford the medication. He's in a bad spot, and he's got to and he's forced to do this desperate thing, and that's how we start the story.
Uber.
I'm just saying, they have
desperation.
Shout out to that bridal party, though, right?
Shout out to that bridal party, man.
And that one unnecessary scene.
It's not unnecessary. I love it because you see Logan just kind of look back and just kind of smile.
I'm just saying, they should have found Magneto, pulled that metal out. He would have healed back up like normal. No more poisoning.
Magneto was 100% dead.
Why?
Well, because even if he didn't die from Professor X, he would have died from the poisoning of the water.
I don't think that was a poison. I think it just...
No, I thought it was like neutering the mutant genes.
And I thought it was helping stopping
them from
old ones.
Yeah, stopping them from reproducing.
It eradicated all the mutants. That's why
there's no mutants left in this world. There's well, I mean,
but why would Wolverine still have powers? And Xavier, like, it should have gotten rid of them then.
I thought it was that the stuff in the food supply was like stopping them from breeding, or at least not passing on the mutant genes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I've been on the record for a long time. We're in a world here where there are not that many mutants left.
Yeah, we are.
That is true, but it's because they say we haven't had a new mutant born in 25 years.
Right, but what about all the other mutants that were thousands of other mutants that we saw in Cerebro? I'm pretty sure they
were. Well, no, it seems like they were hunting them too.
Yeah.
Because there was with Caliban, they were like, you used to hunt these.
Yeah.
You know?
And the doctor that helps Logan was very much like, oh man, I haven't seen one of you in a long time. Like, I don't think it was killing him because then, how would it explain how.
I think they just killed all the mutants. Somehow all the mutants got killed.
I don't buy it.
I think it was after Apocalypse when they were like, hey, these fucking muties have ruined everything. Let's murder them all.
I'll be honest with you, though.
All of them.
Kind of agree with that. You know what I mean?
No,
it's like they ripped half the world we decided last time.
Yeah.
Kill them all.
Yep.
Unless Cobalt. I have full mutant powers, in which case, hey, let me just go around.
That is interesting because like, I definitely think that the water was poisoning them all, but that doesn't explain why the three that we have are still alive.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I can give you Logan and Wolverine, I can give you Logan and Laura. Sure, okay, regenerative abilities, but Professor X, Caliban, like what are they eating and drinking that's not doing it? I thought
it wasn't water.
It was established. Yeah, it was food.
Corn syrup. It's in the corn syrup.
I think because he makes that. That's what's crazy about this movie is like these grand sweeping things are explained with like, very subtle dialogue.
Yep.
Very subtle. Like, very subtle. Only really that one sentence where he's like, hey, I'm so-and-so, you knew my dad. And
I think I killed him. He's like, yeah, I think you did too.
Who was his
too.
Dad?
His dad was one of the guys.
One of the fucking scientists.
It wasn't Stryker.
No.
One of Stryker's underling.
No, the dad was one of the dudes we see in Apocalypse that in the hallway when Wolverine goes through to escape.
He's like, but I have a son. And Stan, that's how you know it's him.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, but I love that line where he's like, yeah, you know, I just want you to let you know, like, my sole purpose was not necessarily to kill you guys. It was just to kind of control you guys and make sure that way we could, like, through all the food genetic manipulation, basically weed out the mutant gene, which is a fucking really cool concept that I wish they would have explored more. But I'm glad they didn't.
There's so many things about it, I'm like,
that's a really cool thread. Don't pull on
me. Rewatching the movie, like, I did notice a lot more things because like, when you watch it the first time, you're not really paying attention to the when they're talking about food and shit. But on the radio, there's like two times where there's transmissions about it. And then when they go in,
what are the transmissions
with
like?
The family? They're just talking about there's one dude that's like, the mutant's all disappearing. And the with the water and stuff, the water being poisoned, there's no way that these aren't connected. And then it like.
Those are all things that I totally did not catch. Like, that's why I've been radio silent this whole conversation. Because like, that's stuff I didn't catch while I was watching the movie. But I love like, I love the corn syrup line. I love like, I love how they're painting the picture of their future and how it's like super bleak and very, I don't know.
Like, I mean, it just seems like normal. Yeah. Like it's suddenly going from the X-Men universe into like our normal world where it's like there's no more mutants.
No.
There's weird cyborgs though.
Well, I love that. I love that they brought. And again, another nod to like, let's just introduce it. And it's not a big deal. Everyone's got augments. Like, I got some augments. That's the wave of the next thing that human beings are going to have to deal with. But it's not a big deal. Everyone just had all the mercs have them because they've lost limbs here and there or they've had them like extracted and put on and stuff. And Boyd Holbrook just has that dope hand.
So cool.
So fucking cool.
It reminded
cool.
me so much cool. of a fan of Pain.
It didn't do much.
But that's
though,
what
you know
I like
what mean?
About it. Is it wasn't like, at some point you were thinking, oh, it's going to go out and crush Steel. No, it was just,
The most he did is his fingers went all the way back.
Yeah, when he turned it on. When he fucking.
But
like,
which is cool. Yeah, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
I like that the other guys, all the other mercs had like augments too, but they weren't necessarily like it. Just all this stuff was so subtly done.
They were just like prosthetics almost, like for help.
So that group was the Reavers, who are from the Ultimate Logan storyline. And like, yeah, they do hunt mutants and stuff. So that makes sense. But like, this movie wasn't just based off Old Man Logan, it was based off a bunch of different X-Men storylines kind of mixed together, similar like Civil War.
I think that's cool though.
Me too.
Because like I feel like Old Man Logan's story really cool in the comics, not in this universe or in like maybe someday.
What's the difference in a nutshell?
There's no nutshell. It's like
is the Old Man Logan one where he has like he like gets swallowed by the Hulk and then like busts out of his stomach?
No.
Oh,
which one's that?
Well, I mean, he fights the Hulks.
Yeah.
Doesn't he fight the Hulks? Isn't there like a whole region?
The Hulk rolled by the Hulk. Yes. There's. What's cool too is the Westchester incident or whatever in that series is Mysterio or Spider-Man causes a thing to in Wolverine's head or whatever and makes him think that everyone is bad guys in the mansion.
And he kills everybody.
And Wolverine kills like 40 mutants.
Which starts a chain reaction where like all the villains essentially take over everything.
But regionalized,
Yeah,
somewhat like Red Skull controls one area, Hulk controls another area.
Once they take over, they break it all out. Yeah. What's weird is Hulk ends up like, just going crazy and becoming a bad guy and like having all of the West Coast.
That sounds good. I should read comics.
It's really good.
You should read comics.
Yeah, this one was good.
But what Mysterio does in those comics is he like switches up who's bad guy is with who. Instead of having like Red Skull attack Captain America, he was like, no, you'd be better attacking this guy. Cool. And that's where like the genius comes
Mysterio
in.
Finally getting it together. You know?
And good for him. The Eden storyline and all that stuff. Like I'm sure it was also
Rey Mysterio.
I'm sure it was also in the 616 universe.
619's Daredevil.
The Ultimate comics like really go into it. Utopia.
Was it Utopia?
In the comics,
it was
Utopia.
It was the dude with the supernova in his head, right? But really, it ended up being not him. Doesn't matter.
Reed Richards? Anyways, it's based on like Laura. It was Kitty Pryde in the comics, but it's them trying to go out and like the mutants were eradicated by Sentinels. Like Sentinels came in and actually fucking killed 99.9% of the mutants.
Sure.
And there was just a couple that were like clone things. One of them was Wolverine's clone, which was a boy, Jimmy Hudson. And they had to go find this Eden place where the mutants could like kind of live by themselves and grow a new future because the normal people were like, fuck that. We don't want to have anything to do with you.
Again, makes a lot of sense.
A lot of sense.
It's their fault.
I thought they did a really good job kind of adapting the right things for this movie.
Real quick, before I continue, I have a question here that came up yesterday.
Okay, I'm sorry. Real quick, a question from the press pool. Kevin Coelho representing kindoffunny.com.
So at some point they were like calling him Mr. Howlett, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, James Howlett is his name in the comics. Like, and then Paul's like, well, where does Logan come from? And I was like, you know what? I've never thought about that. It's not his middle name. I tried looking up online quickly, and I didn't find anything right away.
Origins went through.
Yeah, Origins explained
did
it.
It?
Yeah.
Does anybody remember?
I don't know how they explained it, but
how you got Logan, yeah.
It was something about the military, wasn't it?
Was it? I don't think so.
Can I clean your glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't recall, but I do remember Origins having, yeah.
The reasoning.
He has James Howlett as his name when he was in the Civil War.
Kid.
Yeah. Or, yeah, like the dumb kid in the, yeah,
Jimmy.
Yeah.
Well, I think in the comics, Logan was the name of, like, his actual father that, like...
Oh, that's what it was.
Killed.
Isn't the guy that's actually Sabretooth's dad, isn't his last name Logan?
Yeah that's
so
what it was.
He's a Logan. He's really a Logan, not a Howlett.
The guy who broke into the barn and got killed.
He's like, you're my son, and I'm going to fucking tell you that at gunpoint. You're like,
but it's weird that he was like, all right, I'm going to change my name because that was my dad.
So this had a budget of $127 million, a box office of $619 million.
We want R-rated movies. Give them to us. We love titties.
Yeah.
We love the fucking fuck word.
It grossed over $619 million worldwide and is the fifth highest grossing R-rated film ever.
Yeah.
Behind Deadpool, Matrix Reloaded, It,
Terminator 2,
and Deadpool 2.
Damn it.
It took it down, right? Wasn't it the high? Wasn't one of the highest, and then It took it down?
That's fucking good.
It was the number three, and then It took it down, and then it was the number four.
Oh, I was thinking Deadpool 2 theaters. Took it down, so. I read a trivia that said this was like, when it came out, was the widest distributed R-rated film ever. It was on like 4,000 screens or something like that, and then It came out and beat it.
Widest distributed? Oh, that's interesting.
As far as just how many theaters it came out with, because usually a lot of R-rated movies don't get that big.
Are limited.
Why does it matter the race of the people distributing it? Why would the widest distribution?
Maybe you should clean the shit out of your ears.
I try every day.
They look pretty clean.
I get in there every day, but I'm hard of hearing, you know what I mean? Yeah, well, yeah, you stop when you feel the pressure. Yeah, but I get in there because I have bad hearing.
You have the
I can't do that. That sounds too much.
And then you eat it for calcium?
Oh.
No, that's not what you do, really.
Too far, man.
Look how pretty Andy.
Too far, Andy.
He was proud of that one. You saw him say it?
Yeah. His eyes literally sparkled when he said that.
Like some anime ass bullshit. Before we get into the plot, let's talk about this movie because it is fucking awesome.
Oh, it's great.
It's the number one.
Yeah, Andy, it's your first time watching. What did you
My first time like fully watching it.
He's not going to like it.
I am blown away by this movie.
Thank God.
This is one of the best movies I've ever seen, I think.
Oh, wow.
Like, and I haven't felt this way since like The Dark Knight or Black Panther, where it felt like they were trying to do something more than just superheroes with superpowers. Like this, it was beautifully realized, and they weren't afraid to not have dialogue in some parts and just let the mood and the setting and the music set the tone.
Yeah,
and
it's that great shot
so
where
well done, man.
She finally takes over for driving him.
Yeah.
And it's like at dusk, and she just lets him kind of like slump over, and then she gets out and zhuzhes him over and then starts driving. Just moments like that where like the dialogue doesn't need it. Like it's literally like almost a proverbial passing of the torch to this new Wolverine, but she has to now take care of her dad.
It's just like every other movie has been, what is this superhero doing now and how is he using his powers? Let's go to this superhero now and his powers. And this one just felt like such a complete movie, and I'm excited to see where we would rank this on the MCU list.
MCU list. We're doing that today too.
I don't think it would be really high.
That's what I love so much about this. Right? Is I thought to myself as when I finished it, I was like, man, this is what they should do with all superhero movies. And I was like, no, it's just nice that we get this.
Yeah,
it's like the last three that came out that we've talked about are three distinctively different movies. We live in such a time where we can actually have all three of these make money. Like Deadpool is totally different than this. Mm-hmm. R-rated, but like a total satire on the whole genre. And then you have Days of Future Past that we talked about and Apocalypse that are just blockbuster superhero movies. It's just really cool that they were able to
What a time
this.
To be
what
alive.
A what a glow up that Mangold had from the Wolverine to this.
Right?
Yeah.
And it just shows crazy. Like when you have creative control and you can do what you want and just have a vision and stick to it. Like I was watching a ton of interviews he did and behind the scenes stuff, and like even from a production standpoint, he was just like, we're going for Western, obviously. We're going for that vibe. He's like, but we have these characters that people know. We're going to introduce characters that people will understand just from watching. You don't need a crazy backstory for Caliban. They tell you everything you need to know about
him. Pierce.
Yeah, exactly. You can go in, you can just watch this movie and enjoy it. And the visuals, they're like, we wanted to make sure that every set piece we had, like every set they were in, like had a feel to it that isn't like anything you've seen in the other movies. And the little, the foundry or whatever the fuck they're at, I don't even know what it is.
Smelting factory. Mm-hmm.
It just looks, it's so awesome. And it gives such a vibe to it. Yeah. And a cool production thing is that for every shot they did, they tried to have just natural lighting for it all. But they would only have one hard light. So like, no matter what, we wanted to make sure that you saw the wrinkles in everyone's faces and you saw how harsh everything was using shadows. So like, we did not have a beautifully set thing at any point.
And also that's backed up by every environment they're in, right? Like it's a strong production decision that the world they live in is this harsh desert, but the like where they go find sanctuary is the forest, is this lush green forest area that's just over the horizon.
Place you'd want to hang out in.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And like all those touches were nice. We never see a huge city. There's never a giant city fight.
Don't insult Oklahoma City, all right?
How dare you?
Was that in Oklahoma City? A fun fact there. The most heavily green screened and CG shots they had to do was the casino scenes because Oklahoma City has a very strict rule that if you're under 21, you cannot be in the casino.
The girl characters,
and they couldn't get, like, they didn't have enough time to get the legal shit for it. So they just green screened her.
Your Honor, let me
before they made new sets or Hugh whatever.
Hi, Your Honor. Oi, Governor, it's me.
Real quick.
Let her in here, why don't you? I saw a ship on the Mary.
You're doing lots of stuff there. Now we're a pirate.
And also, Hugh Jackman's performance is just so good.
He's fucking amazing.
Christ. Yeah.
And again, you talk about James Mangold, but it's so cool to see this team work together for so long that there's just a level of like evolution and trust in the actual characters that you just have. I don't think we've seen this. Like, I'll go out on a limb and say, I don't think we've seen this depth of character in any other films, period. Even the MCU ones.
Yeah.
Like, we just don't have that camaraderie that you can tell that Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman have after how many films together? 8?
Right, yeah.
You know, it's they
I don't
just.
Know about that. I don't know if I fully agree with that. Because I feel like with so many of the movies, like, I feel like this movie kind of gave us what we wanted for the first time. Like, I feel like they were together a lot.
I'm not saying they've had that before. I'm saying the reason they're able to have that now is because of all the stuff that came before it, right?
And it's the same reason this one's such a powerful movie in the way of we know coming in as Hugh Jackman's last time being Wolverine, this character, he's been for this being what, his 9th film? Right? No, 8th. Yeah, 9th if you cut out Deadpool. So his 9th time around being Wolverine in some, which is like so ridiculous to stop and say and think about when you think of anybody else in the superhero genre, like what? Like maybe we're talking Alfred from the 4 Batman movies, right? Whereas like that's
Tony Stark's been a lot.
But I'm talking about outside of I'm thinking. Yes, you're right.
Bond is the only one.
I'm taking it away from the MCU. That's a completely different thing now.
Well, I think
the record isn't
Roger
Moore
did like 5 or 6.
But even with Tony Stark, which I agree with, I'm never going to take anything away from Iron Man. Right? Think about like just the physical toll it's been on. Jackman, you know what I mean? Like being completely
and
different.
And even
every
when
time.
We see the weird clone one, he still looks really good there.
And that's the thing, you know, of like I feel like this was such a so many different lines intersecting where it was just a perfect timing of, you know, okay, James Mangold, you know what you need to do. All right, here's how you can have it be R-rated. All right, it's going to be his last one. All right, we're going to kill Wolverine in it. Like, there's so much power in that, and that's when I remember, you know, watching it the first time around in the theaters, like. Enjoying it, obviously, but it being so bittersweet and sad, not only because of the story they're telling, but knowing that we're saying goodbye to Hugh Jackman, right? And it's funny then to go watch this. Man, a lot of these movies weren't that great. And I didn't like his choices here. But, like, you get to this point where it's like, for everything else he's done through these, you know, 9 films, like, how the fuck, dude, he killed it.
And I think go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I don't think this movie could have been made or could have existed or been this good if it wasn't for the MCU just being so bad.
Absolutely.
And, like, not built a good universe where it's like this great, like they said, maybe it's not connected to the actual universe, but it is. Like, this is the, like, feels like a goodbye to those X-Men where it's like we can do stuff. Like, there's all the loose ends that were left to close up, like, we didn't care about because they hadn't built a good story, and it seems like this is a good way to be
this,
like
this was their exit plan.
They all died.
I disagree with that just a little bit, because I think if all the films that had come before this were great, then it would have been even more poignant watching these characters die. But that's the power of the X-Men universe, is that it is these are all fated to begin with, right? These characters are all fated to die. They're not fated to live happy lives. They're always fighting this
There's
war
never a happy
of
ending.
Prejudice against them, and that is the power of and that is at the heart of what X-Men represent. So it's gonna be very fascinating to see them go from that sort of like tragedy of a world to then going over to the MCU where everything's kind of like, we kind of, we win more than we lose here and everything's kind of cool. We've got some problems, but ultimately, like, we're pretty commonly accepted. It'll be really interesting to see how Disney works these guys in.
Oh, well, I think they're going to fucking knock it out of the park. Yeah. I'm so excited, especially because they have all of this to learn from. I feel like then this is a conversation for a different time, but it's so easy, especially now with the snap happening where the world in MCU is no longer this like bright cherry thing. Like, they just had to deal with, and we'll still have to see how they deal with that type of change in humanity. But I feel like all it takes is now mutants are starting to pop up and that fear of people that are different to change the vibe entirely.
And that's the thing. I don't think that the X-Men are always fated to lose. I think that in, like, I mean, this is all based off of, like, you know, like segregation and, like, eventually, like, things become normalized and
we sure did beat racism.
Well, I mean,
I know,
but like, it isn't like there's no like white bathrooms anymore. You know what I mean?
So no, but I'm saying like, when I say this is a tragedy, when I say that's a tragedy, I don't mean like don't tragedy. I mean more like these characters are up against a tremendous amount of adversity, right? Yeah. Less so than a Captain America. The Captain America character is designed to be like this inspirational thing for everyone around, and he's, you know, gung-ho and wins, and that's great. Iron Man is this billionaire, could do anything he wants, makes himself into a superpower, everyone loves him regardless of his failures. But then you have the X-Men, who are just these horribly flawed like characters who are fighting against their own bodies, like their own, like they can't even control themselves. And then when they go out the door, they're just inherently different than anyone around them. Like, that is, there's a lot more depth and a lot more like challenging adversity built into those characters. And I think that's why like the X-Men resonate with a lot of people. More so to me, at least, than a Captain America, where I'm like, okay, cool. He's a perfect human being.
Yeah,
you feel like
absolutely.
He's so much better than everyone around me. Like, I'll never be that, but I empathize with Wolverine. I empathize more with these characters because I see these flaws in myself that I feel like like separates me from other parts of humanity.
But the problem with that is for every Wolverine, though, there's a basketball boy.
And basketball
For every basketball boy, there's somebody that has very ambiguous. Like, I think that X-Men is inherently flawed once it gets past that initial Magneto-Xavier dynamic. And I feel like whenever we see, like, the movies obviously struggle with that, even the good ones, where there's just too much going on and there's too many mutants and the powers, there's not consistency and there's no type of understanding of.
But that's why I'm excited that, like, they're now going into Disney, where it's like, hey, man, that's going to be part of the MCU. And so far, MCU has done a good job kind of corralling everything and having continuity and structure. So I'm hoping that we get that when we see X-Men in the future.
What do they do with Quicksilver, though?
I mean, get rid of the one that
they call
up
Aaron Taylor Johnson, like, sorry, dog. We're not bringing your ass back.
Nobody forget everything you knew.
Greg.
Yeah.
Hit me with that plot.
But you didn't see that coming.
Thank you very much. Well, also, you mentioned Black Panther, and I thought,
I never freeze.
That's good.
Nailed it, man.
Thanks.
Welcome to the year 2029. Logan, a.k.a. Wolverine, is sleeping in a car.
He's stinky. He's probably stinky, huh?
We're in El Paso, Texas. We're down there. This is weird. I feel like we've talked so much about this movie already.
Mm-hmm. You're nailing it so far. Keep going.
Yeah, well, no, it's just not... Oh, cool. All right, that's good to know. So he's sleeping in the car, and he wakes up, and guess what? Outside, there are some gangsters, or as they call them in there, chulos.
No, I'm not saying that right. Cholo.
Nailed it.
Chulos.
Chulos is cute. Midwestern. It's cuties.
We have really some chulos outside.
We have some cuties hanging out.
We have some chulos outside.
Oh, chulos.
They're jacking up the car. Wolverine comes out, and he's like, guys, don't do this. You know, I just don't feel, I feel like we should just talk about the movie at this point. I don't know. This one doesn't feel right. We talked about the movie already
for
so long.
Well, let's at least talk about this scene because it is fucking
awesome.
There we
go.
Let's just talk about our favorite scenes.
What a way to start a movie. Just having him, first of all, those claws slowly coming out, being like, oh, shit, you're not what you were.
And when the bones are coming out all the way,
yeah.
So good.
But then he beats the, they start shooting him.
They shoot him. All right, fine, we're back on track.
They immediately shoot him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
In the head of the shotgun.
I like that we're right into the action here, right? It comes out, don't do this, they're chrome lug nuts, you're going to strip them, whatever. They shoot him in the chest, he falls back down, and it takes longer for him to get up, and then, he gets up, and he's like, seriously, don't do this. They start freaking out.
Pendejo!
And these chulos, they just don't see it coming. You know what I mean? They come out,
puto!
And they say puto a lot, right?
You finally get the Wolverine fight you've been waiting 8 movies to see, right? Where he's fucking.
Where he like has the berserker moment where he's just like,
And he stabs people in the fucking heads, cutting off arms. Dude. It's awesome when I love the part when he's like, no, not the car. And he runs to absorb the bullets people are doing. And then he cuts off the dude's arm and it falls and shoots the car. And he's like, fuck.
I love that Wolverine's default move is stab through head. Yeah. Dude, this. How every, many like shots in this percent of the thing? Yeah. But like that makes sense. Why would you stab someone in the torso? Why not in the fucking brain? And that's what he would do.
Rad.
Fuck. Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah, I loved it. Obviously, like all the scenes were so good. I enjoyed this movie so much more than I did the first time around.
Really?
And I loved it the first time, but like watching it now, I'm like, fuck, this really is a very close to perfect superhero film. It has a lot of issues. Some things are like way too heavy-handed, I think. But the fight scenes I thought were awesome. Like when I first watched, I was like, oh, there's way too many scenes of him just doing the same thing over and over. But I really feel like they're all earned. And I feel like it's like every time my biggest criticism of my first viewing was there's too many fight scenes that are just him versus a bunch of dudes lobbing off limbs.
Yeah.
And there's just way too many. Okay, we're getting in a car to go to the next place. But watching it again now, I'm like, I was a fucking idiot. This movie is different than the rest of them. And it's fucking, it did it. It went there and it like told a direct story.
It's what we're always talking about when we compliment this, like Deadpool, it's a smaller story, right? And this is a small story, right?
So small.
Yeah. This is so, and like you're talking about like getting in the car to go places. It's really, we're in El Paso and I'm including the Mexico stuff there, right? Then you're in Oklahoma City and then you're up in North Dakota, really, right? With a few deviations along the way.
There was the one stop.
Eric LaSalle and the family. Yeah, of course. ER, what up?
But also, Do the ER move.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
ER.
Low, he does the low, like.
Do you know ER didn't run? It wasn't a big deal in Canada. So when I was talking to Jen about it, she's like, oh, Eric LaSalle. I'm like, yeah, from ER. She's like, what are you talking about? Like fucking ER, George Clooney.
I remember ER.
I know the show.
Noah Wiley. But like, what was that move?
Oh, in the opening.
In the opening. Yeah.
I figured that's what it was.
Yeah, he does. He does like a low block and then.
Did you watch ER too?
I watched ER because I watched it because I was in. I would take a medical terminology class at another high school. So like I would drive to another high school to take this like dual enrolled like fucking medical terminology class. And every Friday, our teacher, Sal de Grazia, would show us, we'd watch ER like every Friday. And it was awesome. And so like I got really into ER. No, just normal ER. He was a white dude.
I love how you took a medical terminology class. You're like, all right, today we're going to watch episode 14 of ER.
It was great.
It was just an ER class.
No, we just kept watching it. Like, it just came like, I can't wait for the next episode. ER. You know what? It wasn't every Friday. I think it was every fucking day. I think that's what it was.
What a high school.
Yeah,
right?
It was awesome. It was cool. Eric LaSalle, man.
Anyways, he kills all these dudes. Great, they're dead. We're back in the car, and guess what? Yeah, Wolvie, Logan, as we'll call him now. He's just an Uber driver, and so we get the montage of him driving around. We get the titties at the bridal party. We get some assholes in their prom suits yelling USA as they drive past Border Patrol. Fucking
which
pricks.
Is so fucking great.
Yeah,
like I love
you would like that.
That this movie has such great undertones of it's a small story, but it has such big meaning.
Yeah,
with everything, you know. Yeah. And then like the amount of Border Patrol stuff they got going on, the amount of just dealing with the fucking kids being treated shitty. It's like and like even the women being abducted, like forced to have these fucking monster kids and then killed.
Les enfants terribles.
Les enfants terribles.
Yeah, that's the thing about, like, this story, I don't think had any, like, I don't think it was an incredible, like, fucking story with all these cool twists and turns. I do, like, it was kind of like, here's what it is, and you're getting what you're gonna get, and it was still, like, incredible.
I mean, I feel like it did a good job with, like, the big reveal, which was that, like, all the X-Men that you care about are dead. You know, like I think that
is that the big reveal?
Yeah,
you don't think so?
Very subtle.
No, I think the big reveal would be, and I mean, granted, we're all comic book nerds, but when she walks out of there, like think of it, if you're watching that and you don't know anything about the character, like when she walks out and then rolls the head, and you're like, what? She goes, it brings on like holy fuck.
See, for me, I'm like that. Of course, it's a fucking Wolverine kid.
Yeah,
like no matter, even if you don't know, it's like that's. That's all that they're going to do is fucking have clones. Who does he fight in this movie? A fucking clone of himself.
Sure, of course.
Literally.
God damn it.
The thing is, though, and that's what I was going to say. Like the one thing that I think this movie really, really succeeds at doing is you're like, when you first watch, you're like, they're in a car a lot. On the second viewing, I was like, I'm actually more interested in them in the car. Because that's when the characters actually get to talk.
Yeah. And it's like video games.
That dynamic between Patrick Stewart and Wolverine and Patrick Stewart having one more thing to teach him, which is that like, hey, you know, you're a dad. Like you're a dad. You need to be a dad to this person. Like you need to show this person how to live and like be in her life. Just like I was in your life and how we had this dynamic relationship that was largely like us fighting, but look at what we mean to each other. And you can be that for this girl now. It was so fucking cool. And it's done so subtly over, well, not really subtly, but it's done over the course of those car rides where he's like trying to get through to Logan one more time, even though he clearly doesn't have his powers.
Well, I also love that Professor X only, besides the seizures, only uses his powers once in the movie. And it's
on the horses?
Yeah. Just to herd horses.
Well, he also uses it before to communicate with, like, he figures out that Laura exists.
Oh, I guess you're right.
But I think by the Liberty Statue.
I get the sense he doesn't have a mastery of his powers anymore.
Though. Well, no, like, it's because he's taking the pills, yeah.
They're dulling.
And that's, he stopped taking them. And that's when he has the stroke in the big building.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, he starts taking them. They haven't kicked in when he's...
What, the pills? Yeah, there's something specific. The
pills stop the seizure pills.
Stop the seizures. No.
They keep the seizures from happening, and then the injection of whatever it is stops the seizures. Yeah. Not that this matters for anything. There's two different medications we're working with.
The casino scene is one of the most intense, thing. And so well thought out and, like... Just having Laura also in the hotel room, like, and she knows what's happening, and it's like, all right, we're teaming
prepping
up now.
That's
so fucking good, man.
Him walking through the hall and just murdering these people that, like, have guns and will murder him, given the chance.
The scene of the guy, like
just slicing his eyes, and then getting a fucking thing through the skull. Jesus.
But we're not there yet. Instead, we're at a graveyard. I don't know. Are we? I don't know anymore what we're doing.
Well, let's just do the two scenes.
No, okay, fine.
The movie.
I like the plot.
Okay, then let's do the plot.
Let's do the plot.
Well, I mean, it's up to you guys.
It's fine. It's fuck the show.
Just talking for the people.
Fucking fell apart. All unraveled right here. It's all dead.
I loved the first introduction of Patrick Stewart when Wolverine comes in to talk to him, and it's just like
he's like saying the radio waves. Yeah.
They just set so perfectly. Yeah. It's like, wow, seeing from James McAvoy to Patrick Stewart throughout all these movies to where we're at there.
So
it's
fucking
sad. Fuck, man.
Which is interesting. Giving Patrick Stewart the ability to curse here makes him so much. You're like, oh, I can actually see James McAvoy in him finally.
Totally.
Where it's always been that disconnect with the prequels, if you will, of James McAvoy being like, yeah, groovy baby, I want to have sex and I'm gonna be cool. And then you get to Patrick Stewart, who isn't lame. He's awesome. But he's just not the same guy. And I know we're still filling in those gaps, obviously, to get us there. And like Apocalypse ends with him bald in the suit in the chair and stuff, which I still think is a weird choice. But it was like, whatever, cool. Like, I see where we're going. But this was like such a cool kickback to like, oh, he's more like McAvoy now.
Yeah, definitely love that.
I don't know what to do without the plot.
Yeah, I don't either.
We're at the graveyard and it's raining. Guess what? It's just something and Logan's drinking. And then Gabrielle comes over. You know her from Orange is the New Black. Yeah. And she's like, Chulo, I need your help. I got this kid. And he's like, fuck off, lady. And she's like, you're the Wolverine. He's like, fuck off, lady. And he gets in his car. And the woman comes back and she's like, who is that? And he's like, some crazy lady. Don't worry about it. Get in the fucking car. Puts lady in the car. Still got the shotgun shot. The shot on the side.
Buckshot.
Drops these people off, goes to pick up medication, or goes to a doctor after this, goes to the hospital, walks over there and gives them the money or whatever, and then the guy gives him pills, and then there's another guy watching across the way, and then he comes and he gets into the limo, and he sits down in the limo, and then the other guy comes and gets in the back of the limo, and it's Pierce, and he's fucking cool.
I love Boyd Holbrook. Cool. And you know,
what is he from?
He's from Narcos.
Andy. What is that?
Oh.
It's a show on Netflix that chronicles the Medellin cartel, their rise and their follow up of Pablo.
Is that
Escobar.
All he's done? I'm not familiar with this actor, but I love him. But in this movie.
He's great.
Yeah. Yeah. He's phenomenal. He plays an American DEA agent that has to go down to Colombia to ferret out, basically deal with the situation down there as Pablo Escobar.
Does he have that dope accent?
No.
I don't know.
Is there something about people that dye their hair? Like they try to bleach it, but it doesn't fully bleach, so it kind of becomes like that
Zach Morris,
that dirty blonde.
But it's like
a yellow.
But it's not even. Yeah, it looks like almost kind of like an orange, and it gives me the vibe that like he just doesn't take care of himself.
Yeah,
you know. Really? Right. Oh, I think this guy's getting laid. He's taking care of himself.
Oh,
he's awesome.
Oh no, he's getting that bomber jacket.
He's getting laid, but I just don't know. I don't know if he showers.
No, he's showering. He's on top of this. He's fucking all over it.
My only critique is that I'm sad they used him in this because I think he would have made a great Gambit. Like, I think he actually needs to be a bigger part of the universe.
It's not too late, you know?
Yeah, who the hell knows? When they bring it over and reboot, who the fuck knows?
But I love that he is just this slightly off, one note character the entire... At no point does he ever freak out about anything. He's like, guess I'll go kill him myself. And you're like... That's psychotic.
There's
like
one moment
crazy
that he breaks a little bit. Yeah. When
the grenade?
When they're in the... it's in the very beginning when Laura's inside the place and she comes out and the guy gets his head lobbed off or whatever.
He's like, don't
you can see the fear.
He falls back.
And like he starts to hide back behind the people. I'm like, well,
he's not
fuck.
Stupid. He's good.
So
he's
good.
He's like the fodder. Let the fucking idiots get out there and get killed. I'm going to figure this out.
I feel like he does that multiple times where he's like, I'm going to just... inch back and let these guys die before I die, which makes sense and is smart.
You can see the fear. Yeah, yeah. I thought he did a great job.
The respect. The limo conversation that's happening here where, right. where he's talking to Logan, it introduces one of my favorite aspects of this movie, which is that they are celebrities. Yeah. The X-Men are, they have this lineage that the public knows about. They're now almost a legend, but they are real. But like, they are celebrities to these people. And yeah. Wolverine in particular is obviously like one of the most well-known ones. And it's just the like kind of cockiness and like the, like, I'm a big fan of you. It's like, you can tell he really is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also,
I'm ready to kill you.
I've killed half of your friends.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But fucking, you're
it's
cool.
It's just so cool. And we see it later with the comics right. and with everything.
I think it's so cool that they introduced the comics as like,
yeah.
hey, after these crazy things happen, people started writing comics. And they're all full of exaggerations and stuff. But like they've made them fucking...
It's very much like from Unbreakable, where the comics were, you know, Mr. Glass's idea was the idea, the comics were the evolution. They were our mythology, but they were based in at least some point in, you know, truth and real world stuff.
Yeah. And I forgot the exact thing that Logan says, but he's like, you know, it's like
half the shit didn't even happen.
Half the shit didn't happen. The 10% did. It didn't happen like that. It's like, oh, that's so cool. And then he goes on. I was watching a video that like a conspiracy theory breakdown thing of like going into the. Who's writing the comics? And
Logan
all that
knocked
stuff.
Down the towers
because mm-hmm. Logan makes a
Jesus adamantium can't melt steel beams.
he makes a reference to whoever wrote it is just like some asshole in spandex or whatever. Do you guys remember?
I missed that part.
It's during the same speech. So sure. He goes through and he kind of gets mm-hmm. cut off. And it's cool because anytime they cut something off, it's usually when they're about to like reveal a lot of stuff, like they did with the seven. X and it cuts off before they say X-Men, but it's implied that it's Cyclops.
Oh, really?
That Cyclops, after everything goes bad, kind of goes off and.
I tried to pause it and get a look at the because they have the credits in the thing, but it like the bar of Amazon was blocking what it was.
And like, yeah, and it's like there's really not too much to support that, but there's just enough because like him saying asshole in spandex, it's like who else would he be talking?
That's
about
interesting.
Yeah. And it's like it is a cool idea that you're after the X-Men.
X-Men folds and what is Scott gonna do for
Cyclops
money?
Like fuck it, I'm gonna make money off of this.
Well, not only that, but he hides those hidden meanings. Right. It's a way of him sort of like having. This underground railroad for mutants to get up to this safe haven, which is really, really a cool concept, and they play with it also because Wolverine's like, "This is bullshit."
Yeah,
and then he's like, "Fucking is it so bullshit?" Cool. When they get to the actual tower, he's like, "Fuck, maybe I'm wrong about this."
Yeah.
Anyways, the conversation in the car, Pierce reveals that yeah, he's after a lady who's after something else, and if she comes to talk to him, hit me up. I'm a big fan. See you later. I got a metal arm. Logan's like, Logan drives down to Mexico, where of course I think he said you know Chrome Dome or Baldy or whatever. Pierce says something. We're like, what? And then we go down to Mexico, and yeah, he's living with Caliban there, who can't be in the sun. He's drinking beers out of this fridge, even though Caliban won't even let him open the fucking beer. You know what I mean, dick? And he goes back, and then we got this like an old smelting factory, this old smelting pot in there. Patrick Stewart rolling around in his chair, doing the commercials, as you were saying, bumping into him. And he says something funny when he bumps into him, like, out of my way, let me pass, sir, or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got to give him medication. He's having the seizures. He's having all the shit. He's yelling. He's cursing. He's doing all this stuff. It's a heartbreaking scene to see Professor lost to dementia like this. But after he gets some of the pills in him, he comes back for a second. How long has he been gone? Where are we? And it's not that he didn't know Logan. He always eventually knows him. He just didn't recognize him or something like that. Whatever. Back out there.
Professor X lost 23 pounds for the role. Wow. All the scenes where we see him being carried by Hugh Jackman, like, it's not surprising, but it's actually Hugh Jackman carrying him.
Yeah. Inside, we talk to Caliban a little bit more, get some information. Caliban lays out some of the problems that Logan's having here, of course. And you can tell that something's wrong. He smells the death on him. He's sick, all this other stuff.
Is that where he like calls him out for being an alcoholic?
I'm shoving it all together. Okay. In the morning is when he does it.
But. I feel like that was a really, really good scene.
Yeah, great
We didn't know Caliban. I'd never seen Apocalypse. Not that that helped at all. But it was like, man, these people have a relationship. Like, it very much is like, hey, we've adopted this guy and we're taking care of him. You're the guy who's making all the money. You need to make sure like shit's working out. And like, there's clearly shit wrong. You don't want to talk about it. Let me put it all out there and see what you get back, you know?
Well, I love too, and this is a little bit later, but him calling out the guy that like Wolverine like got the wrong stuff. And then later it's implied that it's like, it's because he's not able to even fucking see it.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, that's
And he gets, and then again, not a big deal. Gets the bifocals.
Oh my God.
That still has the receipt on them.
Yeah. It's clearly from a Walgreens or whatever.
And there's that sarcastic remark. It's like, Professor X, like, those make you look younger.
Yeah.
But I also love, just shout out to Stephen Merchant, right? I don't remember ever seeing Stephen Merchant in a dramatic role like this. And he just nails it. He just is this character. and it's so well done. And you're like, I want to know more about that Caliban character. And he's just taken from you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wolverine, we have these conversations there. This stuff, it's just ibuprofen that they got, not even the right stuff. God, I assume.
It's upsetting.
Jen and I had a conversation about this where she's like, ibuprofen wouldn't help. And I'm like, I think that's because he couldn't read the label, but then I'm also not sure if they're just fucking with him because he gave the pills and it seemed to help, but was it really?
Yeah, I thought he switched the bottle.
I thought he was trying to test whether or not Wolverine was going, so he gave him an ibuprofen bottle instead of the
I couldn't, I was like, I understood the reference that, he can't read the label. Okay, cool, but I wasn't sure what actually had happened. He gets another job, goes out, driving around, ends up over at the Gabrielle's house again. Woman from the Orange is New Black. There's a girl out there playing ball. They don't have. I'm not gonna help you. Blah blah. Leave me. Get another ride. Breaks the window. The lady comes out. She's yelling. Wolverine's real mean to her. Calls her fat. Not cool, Wolverine. And then like they go into the hotel room to talk a little bit. In there, we're given the fact that hey, here's all this money. It's $20,000 for right now. Take us to these coordinates in North Dakota. You can get another $30,000 when you get there. We've probably already buried the lead here that Wolverine's been looking at a boat. His big fucking grand plan is to take a boat with
Sunseeker. I mean, that makes sense. He wants to not hurt people with.
That's why he's got to just go shink to his head and just be done with it.
What do you think
they're
going to do when they get out there, man? Shink, and then he jumps in the water, sinks right to the bottom, and just dies forever.
Wow, damn, that's harsh. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I understand, though.
Yeah.
This was the only part that kind of I didn't feel worked too well, where suddenly he was just all about Gabriella. Like, he.
I don't think he was all about it.
He was just
it.
Like, he was annoyed by her and like, get the fuck away from me. And then the lady comes asking for the rent or whatever.
No, she was complaining about the broken window.
Complaining or whatever. And then suddenly it was like, get your fucking fat ass back in there. Now he was like.
Well, wasn't that after she made him the offer of the money where he was contemplating it?
I just feel like he turned way too quick. Like,
I feel like that accelerated the contemplation.
Money. Him wanting to get Xavier out and then having that conversation about with Caliban, like, yo, we're kind of fucked. We need to figure this out.
Yeah, I just feel like this is how Wolverine reacts to that.
Sure,
aggressive. Extreme the other. Yeah. It doesn't work out very well for anyone.
True. So he goes in there. This all happens. He's going to think about it. He takes the money and he leaves. He goes back. This is when we have more conversations with Caliban. I think the ones we've already kind of covered, setting up how bad everything is, how really bad it is. So and then
he's like, I'm going to go away for a little while.
No, well, we also buried the fact here. Like, this is when Professor X, before going to Gabrielle, was talking about the Statue of Liberty. And Logan, just like us, jumps to that. That was a long time ago, Charles. And you're like, well, wait, with the timeline, he wouldn't remember that at all. And it turns out he's not talking about Statue of Liberty. Only Wolverine would remember that. And it is true. He's talking about Statue of Liberty where they're all staying at the fucking
hotel.
Wolverine, like I said, left. He's thinking about it. And next morning he wakes up. He's like, I'm going to fucking do it. I'll see all you punks later. I'm going to go do this. Bye.
We see the Wolverine sword.
We do. Yeah. Well, we already seen this in the establishing shots of the smelting factory. Right. The sword from the Wolverine is there, which is a dope little thing. I like that a lot.
Should have taken it with him.
Forget everything you know. We drive the car back over there. We get to the Statue of Liberty motel. Door's been kicked in. Gabrielle's dead. Oh my God. Logan goes to open up where the money was, and there's a phone there now. He plays a video there. It start right. Do we play it right away?
No, I think he plays it later when he's in the car with Xavier.
Isn't that after it dies he
looks
somewhere?
At he looks at the text. And it says,
"Oh, it was like, yeah, I'm on my way. Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, it's too late.
Hurry, they're almost here. And also, she had set it up that it was her getting Laura away from her boyfriend, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't watch part of it here?
Not yet. No, he watches it when he's in the limo and then it dies. Then he has to go get a phone charger.
Oh, okay.
Watches the rest of this amazingly produced video.
Yeah. Hey, man, iMovie, especially in 2029, everybody's got a YouTube channel.
This is the one critique we had, I remember, when we reviewed
it. It's not
this,
as egregious as I remember it.
Yeah. It's pretty egregious.
It was as egregious as I remember, but
I thought it was fine.
I felt like I gave it the credit. Because
it was more the fact of like the doctor's having like personal conversations and she's like at a window like this filming and everybody's just like...
All the shots were... Not from here. They were from like right here.
But it was still like
she's
very
clearly in places she's not supposed
There's
to
no
be
way
in
the
this
mic
advanced lab.
Her.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's like, is she filming us? And then you've been doing this for months. Why did that never see the light of day on the mass media?
She has
media?
Adobe Premiere.
You know? Like, you know, these
Wolverine
kids are being
Wolverine scoots
tortured.
On back to Mexico. He gets there and Calvin's me like, what the fuck? What's going on? He's like, I was all FUBAR and blah, 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 blah. And then the trunk's open and like, wait, what the hell? And then Caliban goes in there and finds the bag and he's sniffing around at the ball and the thing. And he's like, what's all this? And he's like, what's it? What, fuck, what's going on? Oh, no, it's the girl. Oh, geez. And then like Professor X is rolling around out there. He's out now. He's excited. People are around. He's reading minds and shit.
That's
already
people. Mutant.
Yeah, exactly. He's excited to have another mutant.
And earlier he was talking to Logan. He was just like, there's mutants. Like, I'm feeling mutants out there.
Yeah,
Professor
I feel them.
Apparently speaks Spanish not very well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so his brain's gone.
I think the reason he stopped taking the pills was to try to communicate with the girl.
Yeah.
And I think that in the mind it doesn't matter.
Well, he still speaks Spanish out loud, and God bless him, because
he said a couple words. No, you're actually better than him.
Am I?
Yeah.
He was not very good.
Yeah. So yeah, he rolls out with Laura.
She's not like there. Mystique. Who
yeah,
knows 48
she comes over and steals her bag and her ball back from Logan. They go inside. She's eating cornflakes. A lot of cornflakes here. A lot of cornflakes. Probably
feeling good. I want me some cornflakes. Yeah, I also want
to give a shout out to this young actress who does a fucking great job.
So good.
She's amazing.
Somehow holds the scene with Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart every time she's in there. And
when she majority without saying anything.
Yeah. When she starts screaming in like Spanish. Yeah. Oh man,
awesome. It's good.
Crazy
it's like
good.
What you speak, and she's like, "See, like, yeah."
And like, stop.
Yeah. Like, all right, shut the fuck up.
So yay, that's happening. It's a train rolling by. Don't worry about it. It happens all the time. Then more rolling by. Guess what? No, it's the bad guys. It's Pierce and his team. Oh no, Pierce gets there. He rolls up and he's just like, Logan, like, you know, you lied to me. You didn't tell me. I said to call me. You call me if you found him, and they found you. You didn't say anything. He's like, no, I don't like this one.
Well, first off, didn't he show up first, and then they knock him out? And he's like, go take him out to the sticks. That's a great plan.
Pierce shows up by himself.
Caliban, who can't exist in the sun, who's like, oh, got a gun. He's like, take this killer out to the fucking sticks. Just drop him off. That didn't go well.
Logan gets ready to fight Pierce. Yeah, Laura throws a pipe at his head and knocks him out. Yeah, like you said, Caliban's going to go dump him. Of course, that goes terribly. The whole team's rolling up.
Wolverine should have. Like, when is he going to learn? Someone comes at you, fucking stab him in the head. Like, the guy's down there. Like, just stab him in the
fucking head. Yeah, I don't know why he gave Pierce any chances.
Yeah. Like, this guy's clearly going to stir shit, and he's the leader of this whole organization.
But while they were dumping him, he was trying to get ready to leave. It doesn't work out. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they roll up. The bad guys all roll up now with Pierce, and they got Caliban in the back somewhere. Everybody's in the car at this point. Logan's driving around like a crazy person but can't escape. And so then it's just like, we got to go fight people or whatever. It was just Professor X and Logan in the car. Yeah, Laura's still inside.
I love the scene, though. Are we to the place? Are we to the part where he tries to bust through the chain link fence? But like so many other things in Wolverine's life, it just does not work.
I don't think we're there yet.
That's after once they all get
that's
the
when Laura
comes
out.
So yeah,
but like we get the next scene, which is fucking one of the best scenes in the movies, where they
send the guards into the house to take down Laura, and they all like creep up on Laura
but
with their big cups.
But she's just eating cereal.
She keeps
just
eating cereal, and then you hear stuff, and then she comes out and rolls the fucking head.
The head roll, man,
so good,
so brutal.
And then Pierce, like you're saying, I'm trying to talk her down. I'm like,
that's all you needed. That's all you needed to know who she is, what she's about, and how fucking badass she is.
Yeah. So yeah, then it pops off. Then it just pops off there. Laura's fucking killing people, tearing people apart, being awesome. Eventually, Logan gets up. He's fucking fighting people, being awesome. Yeah. But yeah, that's the reveal for people.
Did they put her through the same experiment they put Wolverine through with the animation?
We saw her surgery going on through the clips. It looked different. It looked like they were installing stuff.
Okay, so they just put the claws in her. She doesn't have an adamantium.
I don't know. Right? It wasn't clear. But what doesn't make sense to me is like
comic book X-23 has an adamantium skeleton. Yeah,
they did say that she had adamantium because then later, at some point, I'm pretty sure it's Wolverine references her. Like, you have the same stuff in you that I did.
But I thought he meant the claws.
It's gotta be her whole thing.
Like,
yeah.
They were doing those surgically. It looked like they were attaching them to the like arms. I can't imagine them like surgically attaching plates. Certainly that wouldn't work as well.
Well, I think surgically you'd have to just attach the claws because she doesn't have bone claws, right?
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Are we in the science with Kevin?
I don't know. Who knows? And I love that you're caressing me while you're interrupting me.
It's not science, science with Kevin.
I'm Kevin.
Are you guys not worried what's gonna happen as she grows? Because if the adamantium's all over her bones, guys, like that's like there's no way those bones can grow, but they're gonna want to try. I can't imagine that's not painless.
Gonna hurt.
Yeah,
that's really gonna hurt. Yeah. Maybe she has to stay that size forever.
I don't think she has the adamantium everywhere. I think it's just the claws.
Her body regenerates. If she grows a little bit bigger, she can't do those hurricanranas anymore that she does every fucking second.
She's definitely.
I don't know who taught her how to fight, by the way, but she's a bad motherfucker.
Well, I mean, it's clear. No,
there you go. There it is.
It was the what was transgen. The name of the company?
Transigen.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They trained.
Alkali Transigen was their name.
Yeah. We see the vials from the end of Apocalypse.
That doesn't, I mean, again, already breaking continuity because they were going to the SX company.
Well, here's the thing. She said it was owned by some American company. They never said the name of it. Could it be an SX company? I think so.
I mean,
is it a wild
congrats
jump?
Congrats to them to fucking have that retcon immediately from the post-credit scene of the movie that came out less than a year before. Sure.
You raise good questions about if her whole skeleton's animating, Mike, because I like what you're talking about with the growth.
Yeah.
And then, of course, what I wanted to do is just a quick check. I'm Rusty, of course. That Gabby in All New Wolverine, the clone of X-23, does have bone claws.
Mm-hmm.
So that would indicate that, yes, Laura also has the bone claws as well. So would they just graft it to her? Huh.
I assume those claws were not,
that's what I assumed,
I thought it was that was the only adamantium chef. granted, we didn't see any proof of it anywhere else. At no point did we see.
Why would she not have bone claws, though? If she was just a straight up clone.
That's what he said. Kevin said they did surgery on her and just put the adamantium on. Yeah, claws.
I don't think she had bone claws.
But why wouldn't she?
Wait, what? She had bone claws. They grafted adamantium to them.
Kevin's saying she didn't.
Here's a question from the internet. It says, why would Laura have an adamantium skeleton? This pertains to the new movie Logan. Spoiler alert. Is there an explained reason why Laura had an adamantium skeleton? So I guess somewhere in the movie they do show that her skeleton was full adamantium.
There's a scene where they show the files. I don't remember it having.
She has more than just adamantium claws. The file we see on X-2323, Laura's a 23rd clone of the 23rd Weapon X program, shows multiple locations for adamantium injections. There was no proof she had her claws removed for adamantium coating in the film universe. Unlike Wolverine, though, it did not indicate she underwent complete adamantium bonding. Likely just adamantium lacing, like comic Bullseye or Sabretooth do at some points.
Okay. Comics.
Comics.
They don't make sense. What they're saying about her being the 23rd clone.
What about
the Weapon X?
Yeah.
Remember, it's because it's they're all X-23 with a dash after it, but she's X-23-23 in the movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, though, she fucks these guys up. Logan gets up. He's fucking people up. Everybody's fucking people up. Logan gets back in the car with Professor X. Then, hey, Nick, this is where he drives around, tries to punch through the thing. It doesn't work. Everything. He's driving around like a crazy person. Eventually, Laura, probably before this, ran and jumped onto the fucking car, which is so awesome, and then swooped in. And then when they start shooting, she puts down Professor X to take the bullets.
Yeah.
I love, shot
in the hand.
I love the practicality of the chase scene because, again, this is another example of this being a smaller movie but using the choreography well.
Yeah.
When they hit the chain link fence and pull it back, and he uses the chain link fence to
take out the motorcycle?
Hit off the motorcycle. It's like,
fuck, man. That looks so painful. It's just for the motorcyclist.
Cool. Like little shit that's just good direction. It just shows you don't need crazy ass CG shit, just really well thought out set pieces.
Yeah, be creative with what you got instead of like having a fucking giant building falling down.
Instead of a giant blue fucking thing from the sky.
Yeah,
call it a day.
They race a train. They get in front of the train. This cuts them off from the bad guys, which you don't think, all right, giving you maybe 30 minutes head start. You think we'd be able to catch up with you pretty quick with your fucked up car, your fucked up limo. But no, they don't. They drive. They get to Oklahoma City. It looks like Vegas, but it's Oklahoma City. They roll up there. They have no point to ditch this car. They roll up to the front door with this fucked up limo. And I'm like, that's a weird choice, but okay, whatever. They roll up there. They park it there and they keep it out front.
I have a quick question.
You know me?
Did the gas station happen after this or before it?
Gas station happened before, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Because I like the gas station.
Yeah, you're right. Gas station. Like, yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. So, we roll up to the gas station to get some supplies or whatever so Charles can pee, I think, too.
Yeah. Logan, I need to pee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's yelling at him in the car.
Myself.
Yeah, so sad. Yeah, God. Exactly. Meanwhile, Laura's walking around eating Pringles, putting on sunglasses, and then she's going to fucking kill this guy.
Drinking the Hypno energy drink.
Yeah.
That comes up multiple times.
And that's one of the things that's.
The corn syrup.
And that's what's neutering the X gene, right? Not killing mutants, I don't think. Just neutering X genes.
I think it kills mutants.
No.
Like, someone tell me in the comments. I'm pretty sure there's no way that all the mutants we knew were just dying.
But again, I think they're being hunted. I think there's two different things.
What's it called? The drink?
Hypno.
There's so many mutants. Like, I don't think any amount of Reavers could kill that many people. Like, I just don't think that's possible.
Okay.
But
we'll agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. Or until we find out a conclusion from the viewer.
Caliban and Xavier would be dead if this was like, because it's everywhere and they don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not like they're being like, hey, we can't drink corn syrup.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's also in other stuff. It is in the water, you know? So I just think that they'd be dead. There's no
way. Yeah, I agree with Kevin this, but I don't know. Yeah. So anyways, he flips there. Or she flips the guy, goes to stab him. Logan grabs him. Sorry about that. Do you have a phone charger? Get the phone charger. They go into the car.
Just steal it.
They
just
watch.
Take everything. They don't
have
money.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The guy had a problem. He's like, just take whatever the fuck you want.
It's crazy. Get the fuck out of here. Logan, then they watch the video that it reveals the entire program and what's really happening. And that, yes, she's a clone of Wolverine. And she's your daughter, Logan. Okay, cool. Then we go to Oklahoma City.
I'm happy that they addressed it so early. That they're like, let's just confirm. Yes, she is the daughter. It's not some maybe, and we're gonna have this big reveal at the end.
She is daughter,
clone,
yeah. Clone daughter. No.
But Patrick was like, it's your daughter.
He makes it seem like he had sex with a girl.
No, she's a female version of me. That's me.
But yeah,
that's
but
just
like
the clone of me.
The moms weren't. It wasn't like they were cloned from an create. You know, they were put in a person. I imagine they used some of that.
So like she's got a little DNA from the mom. Yeah. Not 100% yeah, Wolverine. Good call.
So it very much was.
Unlike the Wolverine that comes at him later. Who is
right,
the
which
exact
is
that,
like you see the parts being cloned, yeah, which yeah. was cool. In the video, you see like they yeah, work yeah, on something and else stuff. And yeah, you yeah, see like yeah. the arm and
that's
the leg.
That's why they started, yeah, they've moved on to X-24, this Wolverine clone, and they're going to, let's fucking kill all these kids. And that's when the nurses and doctors all rebel of like, not all, but like most of them. Like, we have to get these kids out. We got to take them to North Dakota, Eden. That's the plan. See you there, everybody. Girl from the orange new is black. Out. We get to Oklahoma, leave the car out front. Great. They all walk into the casino. Apparently, some green screens happened here because they can't be in the casino because Oklahoma's stupid.
They nailed it.
It was great.
She looks at an outfit she wants to buy. They need new clothes. They buy them. Patrick Stewart gets a nice hat.
He's such a good grandpa, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, we need to buy new clothes anyway. Yeah.
It's so cute.
Yeah. And then he starts putting on the hat in the elevator. Yeah. And he's like, here's your hat. He's like, well,
change.
Not now.
We yeah, can yeah, change yeah. in the hotel room. Yeah, yeah.
And then she starts hitting all the buttons like a kid would. That's really cute. And it's just great stuff. And then they roll into the hotel room. Meanwhile, back at the gas station, Pierce and companies, they roll up and they're like, oh, hey, man, I'm really cool and sexy. I'm Pierce. I'm making people question their heterosexuality. Like, where's everybody?
Don't question it, man. Just go in.
Just go. Just, like,
just open the door.
Just love. Go through. And I forget what he does, but they find out that, yeah, they've been through here and they're a bunch of assholes and they're going towards Oklahoma City. Great.
But doesn't he, is this the part where he has a conversation with Caliban where he's like, you're fucking with us? Like, we see Caliban and he's all burned up and crispy.
That's later. I think okay. this is when he burns Caliban. No, that was earlier. No,
yeah,
earlier.
He, yeah, exactly.
I love,
he's taking
I love
Caliban
the scene
on your
He's like, get the tracker. And you don't yeah. know it's Caliban. And then the next scene with him is him with Caliban. Like, oh, fuck. Yeah, like, yeah, the tracker's not like some device.
That was a cool thing we ignored. Yeah, I really did like when they torture him and like cut it open. He just starts. I don't like it. Like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, like, it's a horrible scene, but like, wow, yeah, it's really.
I didn't realize he was a vampire. Like, you know,
I thought the tracker was the in the limo.
But no, that like the light like
no,
burned
Caliban,
him.
No, Caliban.
Caliban can smell.
And, yeah. he was
and that's what you're talking about. Of like, eventually they're like, we feel like you're you know moving
you're,
slow
yeah,
on purpose.
Moving a little slow on purpose just to give your friends one like a step ahead of us.
So what are they hiding in the seat of the limo?
No, he found a pill.
That was the pill. That
the pill he was supposed to.
Patrick Stewart wasn't taking
it's
that.
Like, motherfuck, and then
so
it's
that's
too late.
Exactly. So that's
shockwave.
He goes
happening.
To sell the car.
Yeah.
And as he's selling the car, he's looking through the car to clean it out, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then he finds the pill, and he's right. like, "Oh fuck, I gotta get back
gotta
as
go.
Soon as possible."
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I don't know why I thought that was like when he said, "Get the tracker." I was like, "Oh, they've been tracking him with the device that he found in
no,
the
it's,
seat."
It's
like,
kind of,
okay,
yeah,
got it, got it.
That's what they.
So yeah, he
cage.
Rolls back up in this new truck they just got, and he was drinking at the bar. What happened at the bar when he was drinking at the bar?
Yeah, they had to change the tires.
That's
so
when
he
we
was
saw
locked.
The
yeah,
news.
What
that's when we saw the Thank news you. That was talking about the. I think it was a conspiracy theorist being like, "It's weird that the mutants are all gone and the water's poisoned."
No, that was a radio transmission.
Was that?
Yeah.
With the scene of him drinking at the bar, I thought something would have happened there, but maybe something not. Maybe happened, it was just maybe remember. It was just slice of life.
It was there was definitely something on the news. No, it was just, was I think it was just
oh,
a commercial
oh,
for
was the, that the it's been 10 years since the
No,
the,
that was
the
later.
Chester?
That was after because that is prompted by the events that happened at the hotel.
Doesn't matter. This happened right. at the gas station. They're selling the car. He's drinking. Now we're going to go back. Meanwhile, back at the hotel, we had, Patrick Stewart was watching an old movie. He was showing it to Laura. Nobody was listening to Wolverine. Wolverine had come in to talk about the comic book
What's
stuff.
What's the name of that movie?
Shane.
Shane. Okay. And this is what I'm saying, the heavy-handedness. Yeah. Like, all that stuff, way too much for me. While Logan, Professor X, and X-23 are hiding out in a hotel, they watch Shane, an Oscar-winning Western from the 50s about a gunslinger who decides to protect a farm from outlaws. Most of the allusions to Shane are pretty clearly spelled out, with Logan standing in for the Shane character and Laura reciting the same final speech for Logan's eulogy at the end. What you might not realize is the narrative thread runs deeper as the whole conflict between the Munson family and the Canewood Corn Syrup Company feels reminiscent of the events in Shane. In that film, farmers are antagonized by some landowners trying to kick them off their property, much like the backwoods assailants and Logan try to do to the Munsons.
I love there's a great small thing that they did in this scene. Whereas they're sitting there, she's obviously taken to Patrick Stewart as the grandpa character, and she's in the chair and she's just screwing
around. Yeah, 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 yeah.
He's just letting her because she's a kid, and it's like this is fun for him.
This is what kids
it's
do.
Really
yeah.
endearing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when he was like, this movie's almost 100 years old. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Just like me.
It's been a long
and
time.
He makes reference to some theater that he watched it in. And that's the theater that Patrick Stewart grew up with in real life.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
And it's where the Waynes were murdered in Gotham. No. So, yeah. And catching all up to everything we've done then. Yeah. So just as Wolverine pulls up the truck and gets out, that's when it's like, wah, wah, wah. And he looked around and saw bad guys were there. Pierce's dudes are there. And it's wah, wah, wah. It's the psychic stuff. And people are frozen. But Logan's not. And he's like, ah. and it's like really painful, and he's, you see how painful it is, and he's walking real slow against
it. It's so hard to breathe during this.
And then he gets, and then when he finally gets up there, it's even harder to do it. And that's when he starts doing the fucking wall shit. That's fucking amazing. And then we get to the scene, the thing that's awesome, where the guy slowly turns his hand and Logan reaches over, fucking kills him, opens the door, and you see everybody about to kill Patrick Stewart, but it's just too late, and he's doing the wah wah wah, and he's having a seizure or whatever. And then, as you said earlier, Laura's there also crawling, like she knows what's up, and like she hands him the thing, and well, Wolverine's killed everybody, and then they inject him, and then they're like, let's get the fuck out of here, and they fucking,
and everyone just drops.
As soon as exactly. Boom.
Just drop dead.
And they scoot out of there pretty quick. I love the thing where Pierce, everybody's jostled, and like, no, only the, you know, Wolverine's really walking around like, I'm okay. Everybody else is still trying to recover from this. Up. And I love when Pierce comes out of like HQ and like does the down the stairs. Yeah. Like he can't even walk still. And I was like, fucking dope.
Well, another moment that I thought was fucking really sad and like poignant was as they're leaving the hotel. Xavier's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Exactly.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Fuck.
It was like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Look at this guy.
Fun piece of trivia for anyone out there that does special effects. The way they did that effect was they shot it a little bit wide and shook the camera and then restabilized it in post.
Mm.
So they intentionally made the camera
so
shaky.
Has the warp,
so it has a little bit of the, like, so the in between. Like,
oh.
So it's, but not 100% stabilized. And that's something you can do with like shaky footage. Obviously, you do stabilization, but they did it on purpose.
Wow. Go do it right now with our camera for this whole shoot.
Okay.
No, don't.
No, we're not gonna know what's happening. We're back on the road. We're driving. It's still all crazy. The bad guys are still gonna figure out this might be where they talk to Caliban, and you might be putting a step behind or whatever.
At what point do we see the guy from Hudson Hawk? When does he come in?
I don't even know who that is, so I can't really help
the
you.
The professor guy, that's the main bad guy.
Yes. Oh, not yet. He comes in at... Well, we've seen him in the cell phone footage. He's going to show up at Eric LaSalle's house. Because as we're driving here, all the fucking automated trucker things cut people off, and then people spiral out, and Wolverine spirals out, and so does Eric LaSalle, has to pull over, and then Eric LaSalle's horses get loose. And Professor X is like, we should help them, Logan. And then he's like, fuck them. I ain't got time for this. And he's
should
like, no, help. I got fucking to help him.
Cool touch of the automated. The automated semis.
Sure, yeah, a little futuristic, right? Yeah, a little bit futuristic.
Which I like.
And
I like that we don't get really why they kind of go crazy. He was like,
was
he fucking with the trucks? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, later on, exactly. And it's like that's interesting. Eventually they pull over. Yeah, Professor X suddenly has the power of horses. He uses them to not...
He's got mind control. He can mind control horses.
I feel like that should have come up in all these other years that I can control animals as well.
Tell you what, if I'm controlling an animal, I'm making Porty attack people all the time.
Sure, sure, fair.
I think he just calms
down. I had a dream last night. I threw him at somebody.
Oh, my God.
How did he react?
He fell and hurt his leg, of course. And I was like, God damn it.
Well, that's what you get.
And I was like, I shouldn't have thrown you. I guess it's really on me.
You know how many times I've seen a little fucker and want to throw him like a football?
Oh, yeah, totally.
All the time.
As they get the horses back up, the Eric LaSalle's wife's like, hey, we'd love to repay you for dinner. And Wolf's like, I don't. And then Patrick's like, that'd be a great idea. I'm sure your whole family won't be brutally killed because of it.
He's a nice grandpa.
Yeah.
Terrible. You know. This is the only flaw I have with this movie. I'm like, Patrick Stewart, you don't get that these people are literally on your asses.
Yeah,
you do not think that they are going to fucking show up at this house and kill everyone.
Dude, they have a new car. He's not thinking about where Caliban is.
He's also
just
old,
a happy old man, enjoying life.
I get why he did
had a
it
because
he wanted to show Wolverine like family he could have a different life. But we're beyond that at this point.
I know, right? Wolverine's got 2 weeks left. Let it go.
Like, what was your plan here, Patrick Stewart? Like, Wolverine, you're gonna go buy a house like next door to them and live for the rest of life? No, they're being fucking hunted down.
He thought Logan and what's-her-face, Laura, would go into Eden and probably pull the metal out, and Wolverine would live for another 1,000 years with her.
I guess, but like it just seemed like a weird teaching moment. Time of like, hey,
we're going to put this family together. That great scene where he was like,
oh, the scene's amazing.
This is what you could have.
Oh, yeah,
like,
everything. They get there, they bullshit at the table like you would with your friends or when you are introducing, and they talk about, you know, he used to run a school. And
you see her smile.
Yeah, and he saw, they're, you know, Patrick Stewart's giving Wolverine
and
shit about it, right?
And
yeah,
too.
The corn did look good, Kevin.
Yeah. Remember when she's piling
the
corn?
Yeah, she doesn't know how to eat. They have to give her silverware. That's all funny and stuff. But yeah, it's a very, very lovely scene of like, yeah, this is them cool being home. And it is then, yeah, the water gets cut off and we're like, what? And he's like, let me put dad to bed. He puts him to bed. And he's like, I don't deserve this moment, but this is the nicest moment I've had in a long time. And this could be all yours and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
All this dumb shit that doesn't make any sense for the timeline, but whatever. Eric LaSalle and Wolverine get in the truck. What?
I love, there's a great fucking moment, and I don't know if it was ad-libbed or not, but he was like, he puts him down and he goes, you want to watch TV? They got TV.
Yeah, he got TV.
It's something you would say to your dad.
Elderly person.
Was, oh, yeah. So I'm like, God damn, that was a good line. Yeah. Such a fucking good line.
I think we kind of ran over the, after the hotel incident happens, they're on the thing, you hear on the radio that it's like, hey, this hotel incident happened, 700 people or something are injured. It's very similar to the Westchester incident. And then he cuts it off before they say that like seven sure. X-Men die.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Oh, not there actually. Don't worry about it.
The automated cars, I missed this because
yeah.
I was in there.
Yeah.
Do you talk about them?
Yeah.
Is there any significance there, or is that just in the future things are different?
Go ahead, take it off.
Oh, I was just going to say, later, Logan is like, is that why the automated cars fucked up?
Because they're trying to fuck with Eric LaSalle.
Yeah.
Eric LaSalle's like, I don't know. They don't really.
There's suspicion that it was that the same company that cut off the water is still fucking with the family to that degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they were like the automated cars taking the corn syrup or the corn mm-hmm. did that to fuck with Eric LaSalle. Yeah. Like, get the fuck out of there.
Because they want that land.
Sells the black dude?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, though, then we get Eric LaSalle and Wolverine drive over there. They're harvesting all this corn. Eminent Domain. They tried to buy the house. All this different stuff. They're the only holdouts here. And so this company's making their life a living hell.
It felt like such a cool... next plot point in a video game.
Yeah.
Where you're about to chill out. It's like, oh, the water's cut off. Who's going to go help us? Oh, Logan can go. Like, it felt like, yeah. All right, like, time to go to the next mission.
I loved all the, grandpa moments that Xavier had where he was like, hey, my son will help. Of course we'll come and eat. Of course we'll stay. We're tired. It was like, oh, that is such a, grandpa.
And Wolverine calls it out to him. Yeah. Like, you're putting these people at risk. Like, you know what I mean? Die. Like, this is stupid. But he's like, well, I'm fucking Professor X. And listen to me. Don't just stab me and kill me, even though I could kill everyone.
Be careful with the mangoes.
The mangoes still here. And so they fix the water. The bad guys roll up, and they're like fucking classic bad guys. Like, fucking, they got the cowboy hats on. Like, I don't want to do any of these paws. Blah, 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 blah. And like, Wolverine won't shut up, and he's fucking being mean to him. And like, stay away from my friend or whatever. And he knocks the gun away. He takes the gun, breaks it, punches the guy in the face, breaks it. They all run away scared. Great. Now we got two sets of bad guys. Great job, Logan. But hey, Eric LaSalle's like, thanks for having my back. Yeah,
great. What's going to happen when you're gone tomorrow and they come to kill me?
Exactly.
That's what Wolverine. Not thinking through this one. Maybe de-escalate the situation.
Wolverine,
here.
Not a thinker.
So we cut back to Eric LaSalle's house. Logan walks in and Professor X is there and he's like, oh, I remember I fucking killed all the X-Men. Yeah, I'm a horrible person. I don't deserve it. Yeah. And guess what? It's not Wolverine. It's X-24. He stabs fucking Professor X in the chest.
Man, that was
such a good
up.
Scene. I mean, it's Professor X giving the speech to who he thinks is Logan and he's pouring his heart out. And it is the goodbye to us as an audience.
Yeah.
Fucking
and then,
great.
Yeah.
The look in his face when he realizes this you're not Logan, it just... broke my heart, man.
Did he realize?
I think he realized it as he gets stabbed through the chest.
Well, I mean, I feel like it was later, like Logan having to be like, "That wasn't me. It wasn't me."
No, I just feel like when he puts his fit, like there's a look that he says or that he says something or there's a look that he makes that like shows, oh fuck,
fear, right.
Man. See, I had such a different read. I really felt like he was like, "Oh my god, you're putting me out of my misery."
I thought it was very much when he puts his face on him, he looks up and realizes something's wrong.
And something's
this isn't
different.
The guy.
Yeah.
And then I think the young boy runs in. He gets stabbed to death by Logan, right? Then the mom's like, what the fuck? X-24. She's got a gun and shoots X-24, and then he kills her, too. Yeah. Then Eric LaSalle hears all this shit outside. Logan hears all this shit. They run on inside. What the fuck's going on?
X-23 ran in at some point.
She's on his back, I think. Yeah, you're right.
But what a terrifying moment where, like, Eric LaSalle and Wolverine come in. Logan comes in, and you hear the wife scream from upstairs, don't come up here. Don't come up here.
Oh, is that what she said?
Yeah. She screams like, don't come up here. Like, it's you're fucking dead.
Then you hear the gunshot, right?
Just
bamboozled. Yeah. Then the fight's on. X-24 is out there. X-23 is fighting. The other guys have they already gotten her at this point? Did she ever attack X-24?
No. He puts her in the thing.
He walks her out. She's screaming.
The bad guys pull up.
Well, that's... I love that scene of 24 walking down with Laura and... Logan's looking at him like, what the fuck is going on?
Right next to each other.
Yeah, and he just walks by him, and Logan's like, Professor X, Laura, who do I help, you know?
I thought it was pretty clear that he was just like, all right, I'm going to go fucking figure out what's going on with the professor. It seemed like in that moment for me, it was weird that he didn't give a fuck about...
Well, there was just that conflict
Laura
of like...
being carried out.
Well, yeah,
I didn't feel the conflict. When we saw that exchange...
You see her eyes where like he clearly picks Professor X over her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that there was a conflict. I think that... he was just like, oh, I'm going to go figure out what's wrong.
Well,
with
there's
the
like
professor.
A second where he looks and then goes.
Yeah, he looks upstairs and he
and
does.
And she looks
like,
at him like, "Are you gonna save me?" And he's like, "No." And he like goes upstairs.
Runs upstairs.
And it's really sad.
He missed all that.
Yeah.
It's that in these moments, it was I was very just like, well, there yeah, it was very go to the. She can take care of herself. I'll get back to her. Yeah. They're not going to get away while it is. He gets up there. Yeah, now it's all just a hodgepodge, though, because, yeah, the bad guys from the water plant pull up. The bad guys with Pierce and the doctor pull up with Caliban as well. The
guy's like, "I want to pay you $5,000. And he just cuts his fucking head off.
Yeah. Like, Wolverine put them.
It's interesting. They weren't. Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine.
It's interesting they weren't like, "Yeah, you're clearly 30 years younger right now."
It's dark.
Yeah.
They wouldn't
It's
know.
Dark as just headlights. Right. I mean, they've seen him for like 2 seconds. You
okay,
know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, he fucking murders all these goddamn assholes.
Can't stop him.
Over there, the doctor's like,
"Is
no!
this the decapitation scene?"
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, what? Because
like, it is definitely probably the most brutal out of all the brutal killings in this movie, but like, he gets his head lopped the fuck off.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Doctor's trying to calm him down, but he can't. He walks over there to try to calm him down. Logan, what is he doing? He's dragging Xavier's body out at this point. He's doing something.
He puts him in the truck.
Yeah. Inside the thing, Caliban gets his hands on some grenades. Says, "Beware the light," which is what he said when he got burned. Cool. Blows it up. So of course he doesn't.
I just love the look of him, too. When he grabs the fucking things, he's just like, Stephen Merchant. It's just so
dude,
weird.
That was such a sad scene, though. Yeah. Of like, hey, I'm taking away their like ace in the hole that always finds them. By killing myself? Oh, man.
But also, like, you know, if you didn't have to go out with a one-liner, you could have killed the super hot dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be quieter with the
pins. Just like, or just, like, Pierce. Take him off and then Pierce. Just toss him, like, in front of his foot, you know?
Maybe roll
him
in front of you.
Beware the light. And the guy was like, oh, and it gave him time to run. Out of the like,
that happens. That there's an explosion there. Wolverine feels he has to fight fucking X-24 now. Wolverine's just getting his ass handed to him, but giving to him good, but getting his ass handed. They're fucking, it's like, oh man, he's younger and more powerful. This is fucking crazy. And then Eric LaSalle drives a truck over and fucking slams him into a bunch of farm equipment. X-24, of course, gets out, shoots him in the head and fucking blows off a big chunk of his head. Really cool.
Slows him down,
then I think the best, like silent fuck you, cause I'm about to die, turns the gun on Logan and fires, but it's just a click, and then he collapses and dies.
Powerful
and it's like,
shit.
Great. Yeah. Fucking
real powerful
awesome.
Shit.
And then just dies.
Yeah. So, yeah, Logan, of course, then frees X-23, Laura. They drive off. We bury Professor X, and Logan breaks down crying while he does it, or trying to talk about it, right? He has a line he's trying to get through. I forget what it was.
She tries to hold his hand.
Yeah.
He pulls away really dramatically.
Yeah.
His voice cracking while talking just got me so much.
But your dad crying. Yeah, you know what I mean? And then, eventually goes out and beats the shit out of the broke down truck with a shovel and then passes out, which is fucking great. We had already seen a group or a guy pulling up to fish or whatever. Laura goes steals that car. We see it off camera. Meanwhile, back at the Eric LaSalle mansion, they've taken X-24 off of the farm equipment and are using the green stuff to heal him, to kickstart his regenerative stuff and get him healed up good.
What's that called? Because that's in the comics. It's the drug that enhances mutant abilities.
Oh fuck, that's right. I don't remember what it's called.
It was big and ultimate.
And it's around the storyline.
Yeah,
oh, that's interesting. I didn't put that together.
Oh man. That's such good a good shit. Yeah, it was really
it's
cool.
It's probably
to see that.
The spinal fluid of Apocalypse, because remember, Apocalypse was able to make other mutants stronger with his white eyes. That's
no,
probably
he got
what's happening.
Down, dude. He got melted down.
But you know, some of it remains.
His eyeballs.
This had a really cool name, and like it pimp does, juice. it makes mutants stronger.
Like mutagen.
Like, yeah, it makes whatever their mutation stronger, and
it's like steroids.
Yeah, exactly. But it does make them crazy, though.
Mm-hmm. Steroids
just goes crazy.
Like
steroids make you crazy. Nah,
right, Nick.
I don't even. Yeah.
So then.
Get on them, dude. HGH, man.
I'll throw up an assist here to make sure I get this part right. This is where we wake up in the veterinarian's office.
Yeah.
You said it was a veterinarian's office?
I thought it was a veterinarian's office. There was signs.
I thought it was just
like
a doctor, but I don't know.
No, it was definitely a doctor. It was
100%.
It was an urgent care.
Oh, yeah.
There yes, that is correct. Right. Waiting. Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, man, you're a mutie. I haven't seen one of you in a long time. You know, you guys are few and far between."
Yeah,
it was cool.
I did too. It was cool, though. Yeah.
And the gashes in his stomach.
It's like, I'm sure you're a nice guy, but I got to fucking go. They go, they get in the car that Laura stole. They drive for a while.
Well, we have the moment here, the reveal of like, he's like, "You've got something inside you that's killing you."
I know what it is, Doug.
He's like, "We got to figure out what it is." Like, "I know what it is, motherfucker.
I just wanted to."
And he's like, "Well, I need to save your life." He's like, "You want to save a life, save your own. Forget you ever fucking saw us."
Yeah.
And I'm sure that guy died too.
I just want to squeeze some Neosporin on that wound and just kind of rub it in, you know. stick my finger in it.
It's such a cool concept that like the adamantium in him is like, as his body slows down, as he gets older, it just can't fight off the infection.
Yeah.
Because if you had metal in you, like, isn't that what happens?
Fox die.
Like, you have to take, antibiotics if you have, like, metal shit put in you.
I don't have antibiotics, but, like, yeah, you different types of metal react differently.
Yeah. Like, and your body can reject them, and his body's been slowly rejecting this over the years, and now it just can't keep up with it.
I have a piece of pencil lead in my hand, and it's been getting me ever since. That's like, graphite. You see it right there?
Is that, is that your mutant ability?
It's getting me, Greg.
Yeah?
Yeah. Any day now, I'll fucking shit the bed.
It's fucking harsh, man.
He really does have it.
Yeah.
For people that are...
Can I get it out?
Yeah, let it out.
It's fucking in there, dude.
Yeah, it's in there.
Fly your leather, man, and get it out.
I'll get it in there.
Oh, it's way deep in there.
I got a scalpel. I got it home. You want me to get it?
I had
it. Do you want Kevin to scalpel you? He's offering.
What do we need to get on Patreon?
Yeah.
Skycam Kevin Surgery.
How comfortable are you allowing Kevin to do surgery on you?
No shit, I'm great with a scalpel.
Can I be 1,000% honest right now? For this kind of thing, I would 100% trust Kevin. I'm gonna get. I know Kevin's gonna numb me first. Then he's gonna use his little scalpel, and then he's gonna do this.
Tons of access to a numbing agent. Kevin's not gonna get you something.
Kevin's not gonna jump into this.
Kevin's idea of numbing you would be you guys both drink beforehand, and we see what happens.
You want a snowball?
Kevin, make a snowball. You wake up with another hand so dear. Where'd you get this from?
All right, they drive for a while. Logan keeps nodding off. She's like, "Let me." This is where she starts talking, right?
Yeah.
And she's yelling and stuff. And like, "Oh, you should be Spanish." Yeah, exactly.
Oh, kids' names. Like, take me to here. Take me to
Jonah, Gideon, Rebecca, Delilah, Rictor.
That's what it was.
These are the people in the photo, right? These are the people in the photo. The other music.
Jonah, Gideon, Rebecca, Delilah, Rictor.
Like, give them context. Like, at least in Spanish, be like, these are the names, you know, or something. She just kept yelling the names.
I've never heard the name Rictor ever.
No, but he was the main dude.
Rictor.
Cool. Rictor. Rictor. Yeah, he's like
his name. Rictor scale, because he makes earthquakes.
Son
of it. Well, not son, but well, I guess son, clone. But a clone son of Avalanche. We don't see him in the movies, but he's one of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants guys. Cool.
Eventually, Logan's, you know, they're going to pull over. Or no, he just slumps over, right?
He starts
she,
like,
she convinces him to stop it, or he just stops it.
She says to go to sleep. Rest.
He does that, and it's very sweet. She lets him just put his head in her lap for a while, because at first he just slumps over, and then eventually she does that. And then eventually, on top of that, she slides out, comes over, gets in the car, drives. And we wake up, with him being loaded. No, we wake up with the car parked in North Dakota, her walking to the Firewatch Tower. Mm-hmm. Campo Santo waving.
Yeah, I love that.
Totally.
Everybody's up there waving, and Logan gets out and he walks over, and then he just collapses. And then he wakes up again, this time on the little stretcher being brought up by the kids. They have a hook, they put him down over there.
Worth noting that at some point, though, in this, the bad guy flips the picture around and
he has the coordinates, right, of course. So
we don't have the tracker anymore, but clearly they're going here because this is because some dumb fuck thought to take a picture of all the kids that have escaped and put the coordinates of where they're going to be date with the date and the time.
The thing you have to remember is that
their weaknesses.
Their weakness is information.
It wasn't just Laura that escaped. Laura escaped with that nurse. All the other kids had escaped and were rendezvousing on this point.
We know because they're all in the picture with the rendezvous point and the time on the back.
You could imagine that they caught one of the kids, and that's where that picture came from.
No, I think it was like disseminating information.
It was Laura's picture.
Someone wrote it down.
It was Laura's picture.
Yeah, I forget.
It was in her backpack.
Yeah, the backpack got left, and she got. That's how they got it.
Interesting.
So we get there. All the kids are hip hip hooray. We get some exposition from Rictor, I believe. Right, he's the lead mutie there.
Yeah.
I'm just good time to talk about these goddamn
fucking
kids.
Fucking do it.
I wish that we got a little bit more powers with these kids. You know what I mean?
We may not learn the names of the various mutant kids that Laura was in the transgene program with, but seeing as how they're all clones like her, we can piece together a few of their origins based on their mutant abilities. We didn't know they're like namey names.
Yeah.
One appears to be the son of Pyro, and there's also one of Iceman as well. There are also a couple that do in fact have names, as shown in the credits. One of the kids is revealed to be a clone of Christopher Bradley, a mutant with electrical powers, who was played by Dominic Monaghan.
In Origins.
So he was, I remember the
little light bulb guy.
Yeah. There's also, and so we see, I think there's a black kid that had the Wolverine
action
figure when he electrocuted the thing. And there's also Rictor, the team leader, who's based on a member of the X-Force in the comics whose power was to create earthquakes. And there's also Lizard Boy and Pinecone Girl.
There we go, great.
Whose names are in the credits as Lizard Boy and Pinecone
Girl. Lizard Boy had the little tiny teeth. He looked like
He had the scales on his neck that made me very colorful.
Pinecone Girl could sit on his feet. Pinecone Girl.
the main kid who was like that was Rictor?
Rictor,
that was
Rictor.
How was he able to levitate the
made an earthquake happen.
But he made an earthquake.
He lifted the car with the ground.
And then that's how he dropped it.
I thought he could lift it with his brain. Like
No. If you look, there's a lot of dirt underneath.
That's cool. Okay, that's actually cool.
I wish Pinecone Girl fucking...
Oh my God.
It was cool what she did. It was cool what she did, but it didn't make any sense. At, like,
when she suffocates him with the dirt, the grass?
No, she like stabbed him with pine cones.
Yeah, shot him with pine cones.
All right, sorry. You guys are jumping around a lot. We're not even to that point yet. I'm trying to keep up on where we are. Just trying to figure out what we're talking about. I don't remember Pinecone Girl being a Pinecone Girl. I remember... Later, I remember dude leaves. Getting stabbed with a bunch, but I was just like, I don't know where this pine goes. Logan wakes back up there. Richter does some exposition, kind of treats him like an asshole, he offers him his money. He says no. Laura's still pissy that he's not coming with him and leaving him. He's like, go have a life, go do this shit. He sleeps again, I think. I don't know. He's been out for like 2 days.
The green fluid.
Right, he wakes up to the note of, don't take it all, the green shit. They're gone already. Laura left in huff.
You talk about the nightmares, though?
No.
She's like, you were having a nightmare. And he was like, yeah. She's like, I have those too. And he's like, what are yours about? And she's like, well, the people hurting me. Are the same with you? And he goes, no, mine are me hurting people.
Yeah.
And that's is this where really we get the bullet talk?
I think so. She had already found the adamantium bullet. Yeah, of course. Of course, before it would just erase your memory, but now it'll kill you. There you go. Yeah. That's how it works.
I guess you can't forget everything you know.
Forget everything you know.
Already grown back half your head.
Doesn't make any
sense. Don't worry about it. Forget everything you know. He wakes up. They're all gone. All right, cool. They're gone. Oh, fuck. Drones. Oh, no. There's the Pierce team. Oh, fuck. I got to go be old man Logan. So he starts. He grabs the green stuff and he's just hobbling through the woods. And we're hearing screams and they're making there. And then they're chasing the kids. And
he covered a lot of ground.
I was going to say, for a guy that hobbles and really can't breathe that well, he covered 10 miles. Here's the thing, though.
We know this about Logan. We know this about Wolverine. He actually has three powers.
Yeah.
Right? Powers one. Is he can heal. Powers two is that he
can smell
claws.
Senses.
Like
smell stuff. Yeah.
And then powers three is he's really good at running in forest.
He's really great.
We've seen it in at least five of these movies. Yeah,
Fox movies love forest scenes. That's how you cheat. And OV movies.
The mother of them all in this one.
You're in his domain.
That was a fucking dope ass.
Yeah, so here you go.
Going back real quick to the bullet, I really liked the conversation where she essentially was like, what's it for?
Yeah,
and he did not shy away from it. Yeah. He was like,
"Didn't
about
he say
to.
You know it?"
He was
know
about to, and then he was just like, "I was gonna, I'm thinking about killing myself with it because blah blah blah." And I'm like, "Fuck, this is awesome." Mm.
Yeah. I will say this about the forest is that that's where you find wolverines.
True. Good point. Good point.
That is their natural habitat.
Is that how that works?
We don't find them in the ocean. Come on,
you don't find them in the ocean, guys.
As he gets closer, he finally injects himself with the shit. He runs in there. He's fucking people up, killing people. The Mutie kids finally realize, of course, we have fucking powers. We should probably fuck people up, too. They're
Why
fucking
weren't
some
they
people
using
up.
The, no, they tried before. They tried when they were running away. That's when Pinecone Girl killed, and they got overwhelmed.
It wasn't until she, tripped and got caught, and then she was like,
Arr. Yeah, but then you got the girl who got caught, and she, breathed in the guy's arms, and fucking
that was awesome. That was so painful.
They tried. You just get the sense the kids just aren't good at using their powers yet, right? And that's what was cool is Laura's about to fuck people up, and then you hear that iconic, and he looks over, he's just fucking people up all the time.
Then he does the Wolverine jump, which is so cool, and it doesn't look stupid.
It was all seamless, yeah. It wasn't a weird cut.
It's important, though, when I first
saw it. Best Wolverine jump he's had, but it still was that's wire work, all right.
But I did think to myself when I first watched it, I was like, why wouldn't these kids just organize and fuck all these people up?
But here's the thing, Laura... She's such a killing machine because she's been trained to kill, just like all these other kids. Why? I just don't understand why they would have run away.
But that's why
they could have initially.
My thought on that was why they decided to end the program because these kids suck at it. they're just not good.
Man,
soldiers.
You guys are all fucking terrible. That's true.
I thought that they ended the program because the kids didn't want to fight and were trying to kill themselves. We saw that one kid jump off.
So they were fuck these kids. Yeah. They suck.
Richter could have just created a big fucking barrier in between them and the bad guys.
That would have been a great idea.
But again,
could he create an Andy Richter?
I'm Andy Richter.
He probably could. I can't imagine.
Conan O'Brien.
You're doing an Andy Dick impression right there. I'm Andy Dick.
You tell me. You show me a person that could do an actual Andy Richter fucking.
No, that's a good point. I don't think it exists.
Doesn't exist.
I'll get to you next week.
All right. It's all happening. It's all popping off. They're fighting. Everybody's doing great. The kids kill fucking Pierce. X-24 shows up. He's fucking ready to fuck some shit up. Wolverine's fighting him. He's getting
fucked
up.
Love them killing Pierce, by the way. Yeah. I love that it was them that killed Pierce. feels right. Yeah. And just, yeah, all of them using their powers at once. But when it goes on him, and then there's just like a popping sound, and you just see like
what
blood
a way to
through
go.
The fucking wood shit.
He gets suffocated, electrocuted, frozen, and like smushed all at the same time.
All of the elements.
He's been torturing these little kids for a long time.
He had it coming.
I also want to say, as far as understated moments go, there's that great dialogue where he's like, "You'll know when this is gonna like when to fucking."
Oh
come
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
And he walks out as sort of the sacrificial lamb. The guy's like, "Hey man, I'm just trying to be your friend. I'm cool here. I'm gonna tell you all these important." Bah, he's fucking canoes his head. Just fuck you.
It's so weird. Wolverine using a gun.
Well, you see him reach towards his back, and you're like, "All right, he's reaching for something," but I didn't expect it to happen that quickly.
Head off. You're like, so well, I guess that guy's dead.
Fuck your mom.
That's the signal.
She's like, oh, yeah, two and two.
Two and two.
And so, yeah, sorry, I forgot all that. Then it all pops off. It's a cool scene. Everything is very, very cool here, of course.
That's when we get the final reveal of like, yeah, no, we just got rid of mutants, and now we're trying to make weapons out of you guys. Right? Where they talk about the corn syrup.
This is the exposition of the movie, and just like they're done.
It's like you're talking about where the doctors.
The rest of the time the movie... Once they're about to say too much, they just cut it
fucking
off.
Fuck you.
Exactly. Yeah, Wolverine doesn't give a shit about what's happening at this point. So, yeah, we get down to the final thing of it's X-24 looking like he's going to, you know, fucking kill Wolverine. He's impaled him on the tree at this point, right? He's going to fucking clean his clock and finally end it. And Laura shoots him in the head from a distance. Didn't get close. She's got good accuracy.
Trained is a killing machine.
Snub-nosed, too. Yeah. Not a very accurate weapon.
But yeah, she takes him out. X-24 is down. She runs over there, and then we get this heartbreaking fucking scene, right? Where, and like, she leans him forward and is like hacking it. I'm like, what is going on back there? And it was hacking off the branch, so he slides down. And then, yeah, she calls him daddy finally. He's fucking heartbreaking. Really, you know what I mean?
So this is how it feels.
Yeah. And he's basically like, yeah, you know, don't be what they made you. Be your own thing. Don't do that. And she says daddy again, but he's dead. He's gone. He goes slack and he's gone. The kids bury him, one of them with an Wolverine action figure.
Fucking love it.
They put up the cross. They all start walking off into the woods, and Laura double back and puts it into an X and walks away.
I just got chills.
Same here, dude.
I mean, you just fucking say it. It's just like, can you have a better end?
No.
Stop the X-Men movies. Move on. We're wrap it up. We're good.
This is how it feels.
Nipples are hard,
dying,
guys.
Right?
Yeah. Nipples are hard.
Fuck, man. Damn.
Yeah.
Such a good, solid ending.
And no post-credit scene. Yeah, there's like
nothing.
The movie
done.
Did have a pre-credit scene. Deadpool 2, if you remember correctly.
Oh, right. In theaters, though.
In theaters. Yeah. And then, I mean, when you, depending on how you watch it, it plays before it, if you have the Blu-ray.
On HBO, it didn't. Yeah,
it didn't on Amazon either. But
yeah, it's so cool because you think, you're like, I really want to see where these kids go. I want to see if they reform X-Men. I really want to see.
It wasn't about them, man.
They just don't get it.
I'll be honest, the stories suck.
Yeah,
and that's when, at least in the Ultimate Comics, that's when I was like, "Oh,
that
man.
Was shit.
Yeah. We can stop here."
Okay. I thought it was in this fight in the X-24 X-23 fight, but it was way earlier that I was like, the most brutal, gross thing to me was when X-24 is holding up Logan's arm and stabs him in the armpit.
Oh my
like,
god!
Through
yeah,
the arm,
dude.
It was like, oh my god, and he like flips him and shit. It was so gross.
I don't remember that, but that seems awful.
Yeah, when they were fighting in the darkness outside, outside of the Eric
Chappelle's Eric Chappelle, Dave Chappelle's brother, Eric Chappelle.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-down.
Ragu.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-down.
Ragu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Ragu Bagu Vids, the podcast within a podcast where red guys talk bad guys. I'm Greg Miller with my co-host, Andy Cortez.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Of course, this is where we rank every villain we've seen in either the MCU, any of our random review movies, or the X-Men cinematic universe. We will stop after X-Men and reset the list we've decided.
There's a bad guy from Solo in there.
Here's where we are right now. Currently, there are 29 people on the list, starting at the bottom. 29, these fucks from Thor 2. 28, these ducks from Wolverine. Number 27, Abomination. Number 26, Apocalypse, duh. Number 25th, Ronin, Guardians. Number 24, Cross, Ant-Man. Number 23, that lady from Ghost. 22, Magneto / Phoenix, X-3. Number 21, Loki. Thor. 20, Obadiah. 19, Mandrish / Ulrich. 18, The Vision from Solo. Number 17, Mask Dormammu. Number 16, Magneto and the Brotherhood. Number 15, The Dink Sentinels. Number 14, Rockwell Mickey. Number 13, Red Skull. Number 12, Francis Angel Deadpool. Number 11, Ultron. Number 10, Hydra Cap / Wee. Number 9, Stryker. Number 8, Baconator First Class. Number 7, Ego, Guardians 2. Number 6, Hell / Grandmaster Thor Rag. Number 5, Loki Avengers. Number 4, Bacon Guy Civil War. Number 3, MBJ and BP. Number 2, The Vulture. Number 1, Thanos in AIW. Where are we putting Pierce, Andy Cortez?
I put this number 12 underneath. Who's that? Who's 11?
Underneath Francis from Deadpool.
Wow.
No. Then it was the other way.
Right. Okay. Sorry. So you want it under Ultron?
Under Ultron, I'd say.
You don't need this. Who's the villain, first of all?
Pierce?
Just Pierce?
I'd say it's Alkali Transigen.
That's what I would say.
So Pierce Alkali with X-24.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And okay. The old man, the scientist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the doctor. I feel like I understood the doctor. I didn't.
I guess I'm more just. I'm thinking of the performance from James Spader.
Oh,
like that's why I have him. Like, and it's not really a huge gulf. I can go either way with this, Greg. Hey man,
I think he's a top 10 ragu bag.
Top tenner.
And so that's like maybe just knock Hydra down. Put him behind Striker.
Him above Striker.
Above Striker.
Yeah.
So you want to put him at number 9?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Right now, then we're at right now number 8, Baconator in First Class. Number 9 is going to be Pierce, and Logan, X-24. Well, everything's covered. And then Striker is number 10. So there you go. Ragu Bagu Vids. If you want to run the Ragu Bagu Vids Twitter account, go to patreon.com/kindoffunny for $69 cool dollars. You can tweet whatever you want as long as Joey Noel approves it.
And she'll
now
approve
it's time
anything.
To rank the X-Men Cinematic Universe currently. Number 1, X-Men Days of Future Past. Number 2, Deadpool. Number 3, The Wolverine. Number 4, X-Men First Class. Number 5, X2. Number 6, X-Men Apocalypse. Number 7, X-Men The Last Stand. Number 8, X-Men. And number 9, X-Men Origins. Wolverine.
Number one.
Hands down, number one. What a great movie.
Now make it interesting.
Very wide margin, yeah.
And throw up the MCU.
Let's throw up that fucking
cool, Greg. You got the MCU graphic ready to go?
I can go get it for him.
Oh, we didn't do this ahead of time?
No.
Do I ever fucking joke on any of these shows?
I never joke.
I will say that for my ranking, I voted Deadpool being higher than Days of Future Past. Mm-hmm. And after watching Deadpool, I was like, I wonder if I'm going to like this movie better than Logan. And I wonder if I'm going to rank it higher than Logan. Because mm-hmm. I liked Deadpool more the second time than I did the first. And I thought that I was going to like Logan less.
Sure.
No?
Logan's
so much better.
Movie.
Logan so much more beautiful.
Undoubtedly, yeah. Like, the number one in my opinion. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Ranking the MCU.
Now, this only happened once before where we Logan thought fits. One movie was good enough to come over here and be ranked.
Which was
Deadpool. Yeah, we brought Deadpool over from XCU and review and put it over here.
It was Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past.
Was it really?
Yeah. My apologies. My apologies. We put it underneath Doctor Strange, right, I believe. Right. Above Ant-Man. So the number 12 spot, we decided that it's Ant-Man 2.
Right.
Yeah, both of the Ant-Mans are number 12. Because I haven't updated the flyer. So.
Oh, yeah, this was for sake argument, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not going to read all the MCU rankings because it got way too confusing. But just trying to figure out where Logan fits here.
I mean, so like you're looking at it right here. Personally, I would toss this in Logan at number 5.
Same here.
I agree.
Right underneath that.
Yeah, I agree.
100%. So then it would be my. For me voting, it goes 1, Infinity War, 2, Spider-Man, 3, Captain America: Civil War, 4, Thor: Ragnarok, 5, Logan, 6, Captain America: Winter Soldier, 7, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and so on.
See, it's so hard because it's such an. I hate to use the term, but apples to oranges comparison, right? Mm. This is just such a different movie than all these.
Very, very.
Like, I could literally argue that this goes number 1.
Of course,
I can't.
No,
I could argue it just because of the emotional impact, the fact that I fucking cry every single time. It's so obvious, but she takes the fucking cross and turns it, and I didn't see it happening in the theater, and I fucking started crying.
I thought that was really like fan servicey.
Of course it was.
Yeah,
and it was totally. Are you tugging on your heartstrings, but it totally got me, right?
X-Men, XCU,
all the amazing, like, this is just a really nuanced movie that I just don't think you find in MCU, but it's also not as fucking amazing accomplishment as Avengers Infinity War or as great a superhero movie as Spider-Man or, you know, as I could argue that it would go anywhere in the top 5 spot.
I love Logan, but I feel like the nuance that Logan has, it might have more than these movies, but these movies all have it. These movies have it, plus the action, plus the blockbuster, plus the
comedy.
Yeah. It's like what you said earlier about Deadpool, like the Apocalypse or First Class movies and Logan. I feel like every MCU movie, for the most part, does a very good job of those things. Yeah, I don't know. I like where you're placing it, though, this number 5. Mm-hmm. I'm debating about Winter Soldier, though, because I do feel like they are similar in the sense that they are serious movies.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I feel like Winter Soldier had a similarly complex story.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I like this movie better than Homecoming.
Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah, I guess it has to boil down to, like, is it a better superhero movie than some of these, or is it a better movie than some of these? You know what I mean? Because as a movie, as a standalone, if you were like, we're just going to compare this movie to other movies, I think it's a much better, well-made, way more impactful movie, period.
Well, that's why I put it
here. Having said that, as a blockbuster, like, taking into account hey, there's got to be some action. There's got to be some excitement. There's got to be cool characters. There's got to be all this other stuff they have to build into this universe. That's a different. Those are different criteria.
That's why it reminded me of The Dark Knight and Black Panther.
It's exactly like The Dark
Knight. Because it just feels like they were trying to do something a lot more than just let's show these comic book heroes do their fancy things and then make a little one liner afterwards. You know,
that's what I'm saying.
It felt more important
depending on what criteria you're judging on. Because The Dark Knight's not a great superhero movie. It's just not. It's a great movie.
My argument there would be like I feel like, and I need to rewatch Dark Knight eventually. Maybe we'll do that. But from how I remember it now, I think the moment that you add Logan to Dark Knight, I think Dark Knight is miles ahead. Mm. I feel like Logan in this, it does stand alone and it is a really good movie and it's like, it doesn't necessarily need to be a superhero thing, but I feel like then when you start comparing it to just other movies, it's really good, but it's not like this mind-blowing thing. And I feel like
We'll have to see.
But I feel like a lot of the importance that this movie has, a lot of things that I loved and seeing Patrick Stewart and like seeing these characters, it's like it is because we had
nostalgia
right? for yeah. it and we had a lot of stuff. And I don't know if we had no touchstones to Logan or and like to Hugh Jackman.
Yeah,
or
but
whatever.
That argument can be made for all of the movies in the top five list right now. Well, Thor Ragnarok's funny, but is it as funny if we don't know all the other characters that are
fucking hilarious?
I mean, is Avengers Infinity War gonna be impactful if they just drop all those characters on you?
You're right, but my argument is even knowing that stuff, I don't think it ranks as high. Like I think like with that, like with the history.
Oh, got it.
Even with the history of the X-Men universe and the history of Hugh Jackman, I still don't think it reaches up there.
Mm. Great movie, man.
Very good movie. Nice movie. Finally, nice to watch the next.
Five? It passes. Nice. There you go.
Five on the X-Men list.
ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny's XCU in review. We're going to continue next week with the final X-Men movie, Deadpool 2, so far. We'll see where it goes from there.
Might get Dark Phoenix.
We might get New Mutants. We'll see what the fuck happens.
I don't think we're getting New Mutants. I think it's gone. I think we might get Dark Phoenix.
Isn't Dark Phoenix shot already?
So is New Mutants.
My apologies.
Yeah. Then they went back and had to reshoot a bunch of shit.
I remember the hope that when they were doing reshoots for Dark Phoenix was that they were leaving the door open for reshoots to somehow.
That was April Fool's joke.
So
we'll see. The whole MCU Fox merger thing or acquisition is so complicated.
I believe it's finalized, right?
So it's finalized. Yeah. They got approval last Friday that the deal's going through. But now there's the next thing that's holding it back is there's this European network called Sky. I'm going to get some of these numbers wrong, but it's something like right now Fox owns like 31%, but they are in the process of making a bid for the rest of it to have 100% of it. And Disney's like pussyfooting around whether or not it wants to commit with that line of bidding. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing holding this all up. It's fucking weird. Mm. Fucking get it done.
Interesting. I thought it was all tied up.
They're going to get it done.
Have an excellent day.